about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Check, check, 1, 2, ha, 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 ha.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. It's about 4:20. Just wanted to ask, man, like, since you guys are, like, the authority on Eclipse Fever, like, what time are we supposed to be looking up for this thing? Is it, like, gonna be, like, an evening thing? Or, like, it's coming up this week, right? So, yeah, get back to me if you can, man.
Wow! Would you look at that? Jalapeno!
All right, are we ready?
I'm ready if y'all are.
I'm ready.
I did say ready.
Are you ready?
I did say that. Yeah?
And now.
You know what? On second thought, just keep doing what you're doing.
Our feature presentation.
I think we have no choice at this point, but to just keep doing what we're doing. Hey, party people, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday. It's the 28th of August. Hello, ladies.
Hey, Bean.
Hi, Bean.
How's everybody's weekend?
Pretty good.
Yeah, busy, but good.
I don't know much about what you did, Allie, but Chip was hanging with royalty this weekend.
You know, just hanging with my buddy Timmy Solani. It's all good.
Come on. And for a little starry-eyed Ducks fan, that's about as good as it gets.
It didn't suck. Did not suck. Yeah, I was at the charity, the Fedorian Cup, which is like their unofficial, like, hey, hockey's almost here, like, kind of kickoff to the season.
Yeah, it's a better title.
It's a better title, yeah. So they had a bunch of players, like, Getzoff was playing, Cogliano was playing, and then Timu played, and his son played. And it was just a really fun charity game to watch.
So it's current and former players and friends, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Did they put you in at any point? Did they signal you in, jump on in onto the ice?
No.
Holy crap. He watches a lot of hockey.
Yeah, you can tell, right?
She
wasn't on the bench. She was in the stands. So I'm saying they would wave her over to jump into the ice. You know what I mean? To jump from the stands onto the ice.
Mm.
But it sounds like that didn't happen.
No, nah, man. But they did have a kids game going on, but I think it was between the second and third period. And I'm like, oh, I totally would have destroyed in that game.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of 8-year-old kids.
You would have fit right in.
Totally.
And how about you, Allie? Why so busy?
I agreed a while ago with a friend. I said, hey, listen, this relationship isn't working out. It's not good for you. You just need to move out. We're all here for you. We'll help you. So she decided this weekend was it. And then she asked us all to help her move. Oh, no. I'm like, really? What about after Labor Day? Can you hold on another week?
Everybody's a bright idea for her to move out.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Kind of backfired on you.
Yeah, but we were very helpful.
Dude, that's...
Yeah.
You can't ask your friends to help you move, right?
You can. You can. Because
really?
That's what friends do. But, yeah.
But friends also say no when they are requested to help move, too, right?
Well, bad friends, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's me.
Right. How about you? What did you do this weekend, Bean?
I will tell you, and this won't surprise you, that I was mostly obsessed with Texas and horrified and sick to my stomach all weekend long.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's a natural disaster, the likes of which I'm not sure I've ever seen. I think in some ways, and thank God, because of the terrain and because of the advance notice and because of better planning, in some ways it looks worse than Katrina. In terms of how much water there is.
Yeah.
11 trillion gallons of water have fallen on Texas in the last few days. And some of those pictures, they just don't look real.
Yeah, the nursing home picture it's too much.
But even when you look at the interstates that ring the city and around the state, and you see the water is up to the signs above the interstate.
Yeah.
And you go, how is that possible? Like, what could contain that much water? And it's just like that over... 100 miles. It just, it was very, everybody has to have a balance as to how invested they get into the news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are times where you just have to kind of back away from it and go, I just can't do that anymore. But at least in this case, I will say this isn't one of those things that you're looking at. And you can't do anything. At least you can help from wherever you are because you can make that donation to the American Red Cross. You just text 90999 mm-hmm. for $10 to go to the American Red Cross to help the flood victims there. Or, you know, there are a million resources online. You can give blood, by the way. You can donate to food pantries, to animal shelters. There's a lot of people in Texas who are needing help that are really being stretched right now and will be in the weeks and months to come. But that was pretty much my weekend. Honestly,
wow,
was just Texas, man.
But it does have to give you a little bit of solace seeing everybody who stepped up, people with boats from Utah, from Arizona, everywhere, getting on the road to go and help people. This is when you see the best of America, in my opinion.
I agree. There's a lot of heroism going on, and a lot. I mean, everybody is turning into a first responder because literally you can't call 911 anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. In America, in 2017, you can't call 911 if you can even get a signal, you know, on your cell phone, because obviously a lot of that is down. I mean, some of that video of, you know, the TV station, the KHOU, when the TV station on the second floor, they have to evacuate the actual room where they do the news because the water is filling up in the room. You just can't even believe it.
Yeah.
And then you just you see those, you know, the warnings that are like, hey, don't wait it out in the attic because you will probably drown. Get out onto the roof.
Yeah, unless if you are in the attic, have an axe that you can cut through to get to the roof. Just insane. Insane.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's. I saw the most stunning number. I wish I had committed the exact number to memory. I think the ninth 100-year storm in Texas since 1989.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, things that you should never, you know, you might, if you're unlucky, see once in your lifetime, mm-hmm. you're seeing every few years now. And it's just, it's the power of nature, man. And it doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. That's for sure. So help if you can. You know, like I said, even long distance, even though you're not there on the ground, there are a lot of things that you can do to help those people. And they definitely are really, really going to need it. Other than that, it was wondering whether I was regretting not buying the fight or not, because when I woke up on Sunday morning and saw that it actually turned into a thing, I thought, well, maybe I should have gotten that. Did you have any regret once you saw that it actually went 10 rounds?
Not even a little bit.
Yeah?
No.
Well, we'll definitely talk about that today. Then I watched the MTV Video Music Awards last night.
How's that?
That's a long 3 hours. That's a tough slog.
Yeah.
I might prefer the flood, come to think of it. I mean, that was rough.
All I saw was Logic's performance, and that was beautiful.
That was terrific.
What a little dude he is.
Yeah,
you
there was
quote me on that.
Beats hockey quotes and you on Logic.
No, there were some there were definitely some highlights. I don't regret that I saw it, but there were a lot of parts. You know, when you anytime like you know, Fifth Harmony is on your TV, you just know you got to just fast forward like that. You know, nobody needs that, right? Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, but let's see what's up on today's All-New Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Unlike you and unlike the media, before I make a statement, I like to know the facts.
That's what you're famous for, Mr. President. Hey, college football is back, you guys. USC home opener against Western Michigan at the Coliseum is this Saturday. It's always a hot ticket to see the Trojans, especially this year. A lot of anticipation. And we're going to give you a chance to win those tickets in the 6 o'clock hour. We got them for you every day this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the newsroom. We'll talk to him in a few minutes as well. Allie, tell me about your friend Allie, who's going to be joining us on the show today.
My friend Allie writes some amazing pieces. It's usually on love, sex, relationships, some very interesting ones on fetishes. She's amazing, Allie Siegel. She's going to tell us about some really bizarre dating apps. I thought Farmers Only was weird. Nope, Farmers Only is completely normal.
But I'm very curious to talk to Allie, but this makes so much sense because if you really are into something that's mm-hmm. a little bit unusual, it's awesome that the internet allows you to find people who are also into fill in the blank, whatever your thing is, right?
Absolutely.
But I think we're going to be surprised by some of the things that Allie has uncovered that are out there. Comedian Adam Ray joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Always a lot of fun to see Adam. He'll be by, I think we're supposed to talk to Mama Muggs today.
Excellent.
About the Dodger season that, you know, she has predicted all along that it's going to fall apart at some point. So far, that hasn't happened. And I'm sure she can still hold out and say they'll collapse in the playoffs. But right now, man, it's hard to find anything wrong with the Dodgers, yeah. Isn't it? If anyone can do it, Mama Muggs can.
She'll find a way.
And we sent her son, Beer Mug, to the MTV VMAs last night. He was on the red carpet. I have not heard the report yet on what he got back from that, but it's always a lot of fun to hear Muggs doing the interviews. And the return of our friend Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to be here with the Showbiz Beat. All that coming up right after this. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ, for a Monday morning. Ladies and gentlemen, look who it is.
Yay! Hi, kids.
The return of Ralph Garman, everybody.
Oh, the kids love me. Those little kids.
Sorry, your friend Kevin isn't on the show anymore. We made that change while you were out, Ralph. But
look, progress. Right? Onward and upward.
I'm getting a word. He's on vacation, actually. He'll be back on the show. So.
It's one step forward, one step back.
How was your time off?
Excellent.
Are you tan, rested, and ready?
Always. Ready.
Can't wait.
Not tan so much because I burn. But
I mean, you turn
those,
a little
those
pink.
Other things, yeah. It's a Monday. You know what that means. Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hitman's Bodyguard. People love this film. Everyone I talked to, I haven't seen it yet, but everyone I talked to really enjoyed it. Made $10 million this weekend. Making it number one. Annabelle Creation was number two. Leap.
I'm not sure I know what Leap is.
I don't either. No. I wasn't here last week, so I didn't do a show, a movie beat, so I don't
know.
We
didn't either, by the way.
I don't know what Leap is. But it was third.
Leap.
Okay. Exclamation point, by the way. It's, don't just leap, period. If you leap, mother effer, you leap.
Yeah.
This is an animated movie for the kids.
Huh.
An orphan with ballerina dreams, apparently.
I have a kid, and we don't know about Leap.
Yeah, they're not doing their job then.
Wind River was fourth, and then Logan Lucky came in at number five. Dunkirk, Spider-Man Homecoming, Birth of the Dragon, right?
Now, this is the Bruce Lee bio movie, right?
Not technically. I mean, it is about a portion of Bruce Lee's life. It's not his whole story, but this is about the huge battle that he had in Hong Kong that established him as a kung fu master.
Ah.
Legendary story.
That could be cool.
He took on one of the greats. And it was about him putting his imprint on martial arts, saying, I have my own style, which is a mixture of many styles. And he went up against the traditional formats and carved a niche for himself. He made that noise. The Emoji Movie was ninth, and Girls Trip came in at number 10. Speaking of movies, sad news over the weekend. One of the seminal horror film directors, Tobe Hooper, passed away. Is it Tobe or Toby? I was always confused.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I see it written all the time. I have not heard it pronounced.
T-O-B-E is how he's spelt his name. I believe it's Tobe Hooper.
Okay.
Anyway, he's responsible for the classic The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. One of the most influential horror movies of its time, and then went on to become a very mainstream director as well. Poltergeist, one of his films, which
another
is a classic from 1982. He also directed Salem's Lot, a miniseries on CBS that was taken from Stephen King's book, one of Stephen King's favorite interpretations of his works. Had a varied career. He also directed Billy Idol's Dancing with Myself video.
He did it all. That's a zag.
He really did. He was a guy with a lot of interest and a very talented guy, passed away at the age of 74. So that's sad news. Not as sad, however, as this news. Nick and Vanessa, right? Come on!
Sorry, Ralph. I thought about you.
These kids. These crazy
kids. Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
Right? They build us up and then they tear us down.
Quitters never give up.
Nick Vile and Vanessa Grimaldi from The Bachelor are no longer together. Well, look, they put 5 months in. They tried.
They did try.
Listen, Vanessa's too good for Nick.
That's what we all said at the time, right?
So good for her for moving on. And she's there in Montreal teaching developmentally disabled children, being all hot.
Now, Ralph, I don't know how...
You think the developmentally disabled know how hot she is?
I hope so.
Or they just think she's nice?
I hope they know how hot she is, and they look forward to going to school every day.
Right.
I don't know how it works when they pick the bachelors and the bachelorettes, but even though she's now a couple seasons back, could they still offer her the Bachelorette and she could be that in the future?
Of course. They can do anything they want, Bean. They're the Bachelor. All right, there are no rules.
I didn't know how it works.
It's like the Wild West over there in those offices. Anything can happen.
She would be a phenomenally popular Bachelorette, right?
She would in my household. I don't know how the rest of the world works. I don't know if she's maybe too far removed now from the process. They kind of like to capitalize on whatever's hot at the moment.
Right.
So, for example, I believe that The Bachelor, which is up next, will come out of Bachelor in Paradise. They will pull one of those guys.
Yeah, they want to make it seem like a continuing storyline.
Right. So I'm just saying she'll be several seasons removed from their television presence, and I don't know if that's the way they're going to roll or not, but I certainly voted for it.
You may have to move to Montreal and pursue her personally then, because
I've already bought my home. Oh. I already own a home in Montreal.
Oh, yes. Nice.
So
it was quick.
So adieu, as we say.
Is that up there?
As you and the French Canadians say.
That's right. And this is a heartwarming story. There's a little boy named Jacob O'Connor, if you saw it over the weekend. But he's a 10-year-old, and he walked into his backyard of his home there and found his 2-year-old brother Dylan in the family pool.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So Jacob pulled him out of the water and began doing chest compressions and saved his life at the age of 10, saved his 2-year-old brother's life. And they asked him, how did you learn that? Where'd you get that from? And he said he learned it from watching The Rock do it in his favorite movie, San Andreas.
No kidding.
Unbelievable.
Learned it from watching The Rock perform the same procedure in that movie. Didn't have any training or no, just replicated what he saw on the film.
That's amazing.
It's ridiculous. This kid is the best. So anyway, Dwayne The Rock Johnson found out about this and is now flying Jacob and his family to the set of a movie he is currently filming in Vancouver. And the family's going to be Dwayne's guests for a week up there in Vancouver on the set while he's hanging out.
So
that's
cool.
A wonderful story.
Yeah, Jacob's baby brother was released from the hospital just after one day being in there after being saved by his brother. And so they're going to celebrate on the set with his favorite actor, The Rock. That's pretty cool.
I often think that everyone should know how to do that mouth-to-mouth and chest compression.
I agree.
But then I also realize that I don't know how to do it.
Son of a bitch!
So I can't really advise anyone else to learn.
You human fecal matter.
Oh, I asshole.
Both those are a little strong.
No, they're not.
But I would. I should
be set on fire.
I should take a little first aid course.
I think you're missing my point. No, everyone should know, and you don't really even need to know the breathing part anymore. They say chest compression does it all.
Just do the staying alive beat, and you're on
it.
Right?
Just do that. Yeah.
All right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Armie Hammer is 31 years old today.
Fecal matter? Really? That's not too strong?
No, human fecal matter. You're more than just fecal matter. All you're the worst kind of fecal matter. Armie Hammer is 31 years old today. Florence Welch is 31 as well. Jason Priestley is 48 years old. Jack Black celebrates his 48th as well. Shania Twain is 52 years old. And actor Luis Guzman celebrates his 61st birthday today. Such a funny, talented guy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ. Hey, Ralph Garman is back with the showbiz beat. He was on vacation last week, but he's back. And he comes bearing gifts. Tickets to a K-Rock advance screening of It. Is this the most anticipated horror movie of 2017, would you say, you guys?
I would say, yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it's going to create a whole new generation of people who are afraid of clowns. So we'll have those for you. Also, we'll tell you how you can win USC home opener college football tickets right after we check in to the TMZ.com newsroom with our friend Harvey Levin, who joins us every Monday at this time. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. Morning.
What's it like for you seeing your name splashed across every TV screen in America all weekend long? Is it weird?
And it was after Harvey Weinstein, not me.
Okay. Well, I don't think anyone would name in the storm after you. It's just got to just be weird to see Harvey.
I know. It's like, before it hit, it was kind of, interesting. And now it's just so sad.
It is. Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It is. And I appreciate that you've been doing some coverage on your site. And I'll mention again, I mentioned it when we came on today, that the easiest thing you can do, and it takes 5 seconds to help the people in Texas affected by the flood, is to donate to the American Red Cross. You just text the word Harvey to 90999, and they'll send you a receipt back and say, hey, you're giving us $10, and you go, yes, and that's it, you're done. I mean, it takes no time at all, and the money really does help. So, all right, let's talk about some of the stuff that's on the site. How much did you see of the VMAs last night on MTV, Harvey?
Not a lot.
All right.
I'll be honest with you. I did watch the fight, but I didn't really, you know. I have my people watched it.
Yes. I was surprised, you know, because MTV is obviously the youth-oriented channel. I was surprised how political they got, and I was so impressed with Heather Heyer's mom, who came out and gave that very eloquent speech about the foundation she's starting in her daughter's name. That's the lady who was run right. over at the protest in Charlottesville. You know, Paris Jackson had some strong words. They dealt with the helping depressed people and giving out suicide hotlines. I mean, it was a very politically active and aware broadcast last night, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the country's changed. It's, you know, this is not 10 years ago. And, you know, it makes sense. I mean, I thought it was real. I think that part was really good. I mean,
yeah.
And what it will do, too, is it'll resonate with young people that, you know, older people just can't connect with as much.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right that the country has changed. You just can't ignore stuff like that anymore. People just have to look out for one another. Well, one of the most anticipated events of the VMAs last night was the world premiere of the new Taylor Swift video, and you've got a little bit of reaction to that on the site. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, look, she's taken aim at Kim and Kanye, and she doesn't even hide it. You know, talking about the tilted stage and whatnot. So she's pissed off at them. And I think this all goes back to when Kanye wrote the song about Taylor Swift, and she called herself the bad. He said she was fine, that he called her a bad bitch. And she says, I never said, you never gave him permission. And they went back and forth, and it turned out that Kim had secretly recorded Taylor, you know, not saying those words, but recorded at least part of what Kanye said she had said to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's pissed off at that, and she hates him. And Kanye and Kim, they, you know, I would say to you that they don't really care, and that sounds like something that a publicist would tell us and we would say BS to, but it's really true, actually, in this one. I mean, it's not a publicist. We know. It's not a big deal to them. They actually, Kanye is in a feud that he cares about, and that's with Jay-Z.
Yeah.
But he really doesn't care about this. This is a year old, and the way they kind of see it is they're kind of top of the food chain, so she's hitching her wagon to them because it keeps her more relevant, but they don't really care that much.
Harvey, I don't think anybody cares about that feud anymore. I think it was a real misstep for her to dredge this up. I mean,
do something new,
move on.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I just think this is so lame and stupid, but everybody in my office loves the song, and they think it's cool.
Dear.
I know. Look, who am I to say?
Well, you have ears,
I'm not the
work. I think having ears that work, you're entitled.
I like the song too, by the way. Like the song, but I think it's because I like the song. I don't like her reigniting these feuds.
She's so petty, and
it
enough
seems petty.
With playing
yes.
the victim. You're not a victim, Taylor.
Well,
move
and
on.
Also, it kind of works when you're 16 years old,
right?
But she's older now.
Yeah, she's
and
a grown ass woman.
Playing that shtick. That I don't know. I'm not the demo, but it just seems so ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I do wonder if it's going to backfire. I mean, so far it hasn't. The song has sold almost 500,000 copies
right.
already. It's number
right.
one in dozens of countries. The video, I think, is at 16 million views already since it premiered last night. So people are definitely interested in what's going on. But I'm wondering how many legs it's going to have, because I do feel like we're, like Ali said, we're tired of her pretending to be a victim when she's living on top of the world. You know
right.
what I mean?
Although you got to love that Katy Perry still hates her and that she wouldn't introduce the music
yes.
video.
And wouldn't say her name, referred to her as Ed Sheeran's friend last night on the show.
Wow.
Wouldn't even say her name. So, yeah, that was awkward as well. And by the way, that's another thing is, you know, Katy Perry came out so magnanimously on her tour and you know, offered an olive branch
right.
and said, I just want to move on. The right thing to do would have been for Taylor to accept that. You know, you can't preach girl power and then hold a dumb feud year after year about something that doesn't matter anymore.
You know what would be great? You know what would be great? Vanity Fair should do one of these Annie Leibovitz covers and take everybody that Taylor Swift has a gripe with and says victimized her and then put them on the cover and get like, you know, just get Jake Gyllenhaal, get all of them and just put them together and they all kind of look stone-faced into the camera. It would be great.
And what did you think of the end of the video last night with the 14 old Taylors that she's now killing and burying? What'd you think about that aspect of the video?
I don't know. I mean, I have a real hard time with this. I just think it's so... You're right. I mean, I think Allie's right. It's like enough victim stuff. I mean, there really are victims in this world of pretty bad things. And
she's not one
kidding
of them.
Me? Yeah, she's not one of them.
Gotcha. All right, great stuff on the site throughout the weekend, throughout the day, including
How about the fight?
How about the fight? What'd you think? Did you feel like you got your money's worth?
I loved it. I thought it just so delivered, and it was an event. It was a spectacle. Connor did great. It was perfect. I loved it. I just think, you know, this could have been so disappointing.
As many Floyd Mayweather fights have been in the past, right?
I thought this was a better fight than Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Oh, it was. There's no question it was. I mean, the only criticism has been that Floyd was clearly just toying with him for the first three or four rounds. His strategy was to make Conor McGregor work too hard and wear himself out because Floyd Mayweather can last all day and all night in a ring.
Well, unless Conor knocked him out in the first three rounds. And the judges all said that Mayweather won the first three. The announcers, and I felt the same way, the announcers felt that Conor won the first three. So, I heard the criticism, but I don't think that's fair. I think Conor did a really good job the first three rounds.
I know that there are a lot of people who are nervous about putting down their $100 for that pay-per-view. I'm glad so many people at the end of the night felt like they got their money's worth. I mean,
feel like I got my money's worth in pay-per-view, I was okay to lose money on the bet. Because I thought Conor did a really good job.
What'd you think about Floyd trying to put $400,000 on himself the afternoon of the fight and being turned down?
I know. I think that, you know, there's a gambling thing about that, but... you know, if Floyd better bet on himself.
Yes, exactly.
that would not look good if he didn't.
No, you're right about that. All right, TMZ throughout the day on Fox Channel 11, TMZ Live, of course, at 4 p.m. Same channel, TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. TMZ Sports has been killing it lately, too, Harvey. It's amazing how much stuff you're doing on that. We really appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great week, my friend.
See you next week.
All right, you bet. Hey, a pair of tickets to the USC home opener. It is time, you guys. Could this be the season Trojans fans have been waiting for a long time? Maybe so. They're playing Western Michigan at the Coliseum this Saturday. We're looking for Trojans and Trojans fans. If you know and love USC, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets right after this. We had that young Sam Darnold on the show a couple weeks ago. Remember, Allie?
I do.
People love him, man.
Seems to be a really good kid. Raised well. Kind of stays out of the limelight.
Seems like he's got his head on his shoulders.
Yeah, doesn't have a jacuzzi in his room like other quarterbacks in town.
A lot of people are really looking at him to carry the team this season back to the national championship. We'll see what happens when the program opens at the USC home opener at the Coliseum this Saturday versus Western Michigan. All right, we asked you if you're a fan of USC to give us a call. Contestants are on the line. This game is called Know Your Alumni.
We're talking USC football. Know your alumni.
Oh my God.
You want to go see a game? Know your alumni.
Oh, Omar.
To win the ticks, call up. And this is why.
Why, man?
Know your alumni. Know your alumni. Know your alumni.
Come on. Come on with that.
Top 10.
Top 10 for sure. USC, as much as any college in America, has outstanding alumni. I mean, I'll just throw out George Lucas and Steven Spielberg and Ron Howard, and the list just goes on and on and on for famous people who attended that school at one time or another. So I'm going to be describing a famous alumni, give you some clues. All you have to do is tell me who that alumni is, and you will go into the drawing to win the tickets. Our first contestant is going to be Jose. He's in Northridge. He's up first on line one. We'll just take him in order, Chip. Hey, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning to you. All right, so know your alumni.
Know your alumni.
Who am I talking about here? This producer, director, writer, stand-up comedian has his fingerprints all over some of the most popular comedies of the last 20 years, everything from Freaks and Geeks to Girls on TV, plus movies like 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, and Pineapple Express. Who are we talking about here?
You said director?
Producer, director, writer, comedian. He does it all.
Oh, my guess would have been Will Ferrell.
I'm sorry, no. We were looking for Judd Apatow.
Yeah,
Judd Apatow was the name.
That was my second guess.
Well, I wish the game worked like that, but thank you, Jose. Let's go to Lake Elsinore. Say hi to David. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man?
Morning, guys.
This iconic actor and his equally famous mustache can currently be seen on CBS's big hit show Blue Bloods. But if you are not David King of Mexico or under 90 years old, you might know him better as Monica's longtime boyfriend on Friends or his 80s hits like Magnum P.I. or the Three Men and a Baby movies.
Oh, Tom Selleck?
Yes. Didn't sound like David was going to come up with that, did it?
It did not.
I drew a big blank.
You dug deep, though, my friend. Hang on. You're in the drawing. Well done. Let's go to Glendora and say hi to Craig. Hey, Craig.
Morning, party people.
By the way, I should have asked, any chance you went to USC?
No, I did not.
All right.
My father's alumni.
Oh, good for you. All right. This USC alum is a reality TV star thanks to his many famous sisters, maybe the most famous reality TV stars in the world. He calls himself a businessman, too, if you consider running a sock empire to be a business. He also appeared on season 13 of Dancing with the Stars and was completely forgettable there, too. Who are we talking about?
Is it a Kardashian?
It is.
I don't know his first name.
Oh,
I think on principle you give it to Craig. You shouldn't know his first name.
I'm sorry. We were looking for David. It's Rob Kardashian.
Rob
is his name. Completely forgettable, though. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate the call. All right. So far, David's in the drawing. Let's see if we can add Melissa's name. She's in Laverne, line 4. Hey, Melissa. Well, maybe the first word after I'm on the radio shouldn't be a word you can't say on the radio, Melissa.
I'm sorry. I'm excited. Every time I call, I'm on my way to work, and I cannot be on the radio. You guys have busy lines. Anyway, okay. I'm excited.
All right, I'm an alumni, by the way. Oh, good for you. All right. Well, I'm glad you got through. You may know this other famous alumni. This Navy pilot.
Maybe not. I don't know. Hope.
This Navy pilot, engineer, and later astronaut completed his graduate studies at USC and will see his life up. Well, he won't see it because he's dead, but his life will be put up on the big screen next year when Ryan Gosling portrays him and his remarkable achievement of being the first human to walk on the moon.
Oh, Neil Armstrong?
Yeah, it's Neil Armstrong.
Yeah.
All right, Melissa, you hang on. You're in the drawing for the tickets. Well done. Let's say hi to Robert up next. Hey, Robert.
Good morning.
This USC alumni was the famous Heisman Trophy-winning running back who didn't kill all those people and then go to jail for armed robbery. He was, however, at the center of an NCAA investigation into improper donor support, and that led him to giving up his Heisman and the team having to vacate their championship season. He then went on to a successful career in the NFL and won a Super Bowl with the Saints. Who are we talking about?
Who is Reggie Bush?
Yes. And thank you for asking that, or answering that in the form of a question. Well done. Hang on. You're in the drawing. All right, we got time for a couple more. Here's Oscar from Whittier. Hey, Oscar.
Hey,
what's up, man?
Nothing much.
All right, good luck playing for tickets for USC football this weekend. This celebrity doctor may or may not be an actual medical doctor, but he claims to have gotten his degree from USC. He has played a doctor on TV many times, though, everything from MTV's Loveline show to Celebrity Rehab to his own show on CNN Headline News. Who is he?
Oh, that's the one that gets all the teen moms pregnant, Dr. Drew.
Yes, you are absolutely correct, Oscar. Hang on, let's do one more. Let's make it Brian Glendora. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Our final contestant, this Saturday Night Live veteran, was on the show for 7 years and became well known for his impressions of George W. Bush, Alex Trebek, and Harry Carey. Since he left the show, he starred in some of the best comedies of all time, including Anchorman and Elf.
The man, Will Ferrell.
That is the great Will Ferrell, yeah. And I think, didn't he give the commencement address last year for USC as well? All right, excellent contestants, you guys. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Oscar, Robert, Melissa, and David. Only one will win the tickets for the home opener against Western Michigan at the Coliseum this Saturday. You can buy your tickets at usctrojans.com. But who wins them right now?
The winner is David.
Yay! David.
Oh, my God.
Have a great time out there Saturday. I hope it's not 150 degrees by then. Thank you for listening to the show, and thanks for playing Know Your Alumni.
Know Your Alumni. Yeah. Know Your Alumni. Uh-huh. Know Your Alumni.
Portugal the Man on the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Earlier in the hour, we were talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ about the VMAs last night on MTV. Coming up after the top of the hour, Beer Mug on the red carpet doing some of his patented interviews. And Ralph, you're gonna weep for our industry when you hear what Mugs inflicted on the guests last night.
Why?
That is an excellent question.
Yeah.
He does scream at a celebrity at length.
That's his catch, Bean. That's his catchphrase. It's just yelling at people as they walk by.
And has the celebrity's name wrong, too. Okay. Not only screaming, but has the celebrity's name wrong. So that's just one of the highlights we'll be hearing right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph is here with the showbiz beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
I want to give away something. This will soften the blow. Beer Mug's up next, so what we're going to do is we're going to try to put a little topical numbing agent on top of you for the Beer Mug.
So it doesn't hurt
injection
so
you're about to get.
I like it.
Ooh, beer Mug injection.
I don't love any of this.
I'm very on that level. Here we go. How about tickets to see It? Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Oh, It. It is the stuff of nightmares. It. Stephen King's It. You know it. You love it. You can't live without it.
It.
It. It. Oh, man. This looks terrifying.
It really does. And, Ralph, you were out last week.
The original's terrifying.
It is.
Enough.
You were out last
week.
This
looks doubly
terrifying.
Did
you hear about the screening that they're having in Austin with the all-clown screening?
No. Mm-hmm. Can't. No. Stop.
At the draft house.
Yeah. No.
Clowns only.
No.
So, like,
that's a good idea, though. Let's get them all in one place.
Oh, there you go. Round them up.
Oh.
Then send in a drone strike. Take out the evil clowns.
We all float down here, Georgie.
Oh. Yeah, right? Anyway, if you'd like to see this brand new remake and reboot of It. You know, I was a little dubious initially when they announced it, because Tim Curry is one of my favorites, just a favorite actor, performers across the board, and he was so terrific as Pennywise. And then you see what they've done with this, and I think they nailed it. I think they really have. Anyway, we're giving away passes to our K-Rock Advance screening. It is happening on September 6th. Pair of passes, the K-Rock Advance screening. If you're one of the lucky callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers through. We'll get a pair of passes for It. It's in theaters everywhere on September the 8th, but you'll see it on the 6th. If you're lucky, call now.
Chew on that, you clown. We all float down here, Georgie.
Mm-mm.
Right?
I don't like it.
Yeah. Allie says no.
Speaking of movies, it's Monday, so let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hitman's Bodyguard. $10 million made it number one at the box office. Annabelle Creation was second. Leap. It was third in its debut with $5 million. Wind River, Logan Lucky, Dunkirk, Spider-Man Homecoming, Birth of the Dragon, The Emoji Movie, and Girls Trip were your top 10 films at the box office. Sad news, director Tobe Hooper has passed away. The man behind the seminal horror film, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Also Poltergeist. He had a way with a scary film. Speaking of Stephen King, as we were with It, he also did a adaptation of one of his books called Salem's Lot on CBS in the late 1970s. It was terrifying. I remember seeing it as a kid. Kept me up at nights. It was about vampires and bad stuff. So Tobe Hooper passed away at the age of 74, which is sad news. Not as sad as Taylor Swift's new song, but still sad, right? Her.
It's not
her
for
with
me.
This, all of this with her. Enough.
I feel like she hasn't had a lot of missteps in her career, but this may be one.
Because she's awful, and she can no longer hide it. Now it's starting just to seep out. Mm. You know, she's like a creature in a horror movie where she's been an alien the whole time.
Yeah, able to contain it.
Right, but walking around among us like everything else, and then we put on the glasses, and they live. We can see now the blah underneath all the, right? this song. It's My Lumps, right? It's the Black Eyed Peas song that she sings, right? That's the same thing, right?
And Wright said Fred's I'm Too Sexy.
Yeah. Although, you know, she does steal from them liberally, but she was very smart. She gave them credit, songwriting credit on that song so that they wouldn't sue her.
Yeah.
So
well, she I don't can, think that's stealing, man.
Yeah, it's absolutely stealing.
Crediting.
No, it's stealing.
It's preemptive.
It's preemptive. Yeah. It's stealing, but you preempt the lawsuit by putting them by throwing them money already.
Yeah.
And that way they can't come and say, hey, you stole from our song. She's like, no, but I already gave you money. So there. And the new video, of course, debuted on MTV last night. And she sure feels sorry for herself. The way we're all picking on her and making her do bad things. Mm-hmm.
Well, she doesn't have a lot of good things happening for her in her life and career.
Why? How can she not see that? She is the most privileged of all people.
Yeah. It's hard to see outside yourself when you've been kind of in a bubble your whole life.
She's
and
the
I'm
worst.
A little disappointed because I felt like she was well past these feuds and also was coming. I did.
What made you think that?
Because she has not said a word about anything for the last year. That's why. Because when Katie was out there, you know, talking about her all summer long, she'd never responded, for instance. You know, she just hasn't been saying anything. And then I felt like she was in a real positive momentum space with the trial. And she, you know, I think impressed a lot of people with the way she handled that and kind of fought back against that sexual assault. It seemed like,
yeah,
you know,
she's a hero. Not all heroes wear capes. You're right.
I felt like everything was coming up Taylor there for a minute, but now I feel like she's backsliding a little bit.
You thought she was doing better because we haven't heard from her.
Because she shut up.
Because she wasn't. It seemed like she had moved on past those petty feuds. That's why I'm saying it seemed like she, you know, had made a good decision there.
Still thinking that?
Not as much.
No. She's holding on. And now she's got a new gritty attitude. Because, I can't come to the phone because I'm dead, but I'm alive, and I came back from the dead because I do it all the time.
There was literally a zombie Taylor Swift in the video.
F. So much F.
So you like the song, it sounds like.
The reason I bring it up, not just because it's awful, but she's going to be on the side of UPS trucks all over America starting this week. You see a UPS truck rolling up to your house to deliver you something from Amazon? Boom, there's Taylor Swift's face on the side of the truck. So get your eggs ready, I guess is what I'm saying, right? Is that what we're saying?
That's my John.
Take a look today's celebrity birthdays. Luis Guzman, 61 years old today.
He's on that Code Black show now, I think. That's what he's doing currently, that medical show on, what, CBS?
All right. Shania Twain, she's 52. Jack Black and Jason Priestley both celebrate their 48th birthdays today. And Florence Welch and Armie Hammer were both born at the same year on the same day. They're both 31 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Beer mug is a goddamn national treasure. Who's with me on that? Who's backing my play on that statement?
Woo! Beer mug agrees.
How about you? How about you, Allie?
Absolutely. I adore him.
And with between the eclipse work that Muggs was doing on the street last week and then the work at the fight in Las Vegas this weekend with all the people he was interviewing, and now you're at the MTV VMAs on the black and white carpet last night, Muggs, you're working hard, my friend.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's right. That's what Muggs is famous for. And his interviews, by the way, we got a lot. I hear all the time from young people who think they might like a career in broadcasting, and they always like, give me some tips. Just do what Beer Mug does. When you hear these interviews, just follow this. This is how it's meant to be done, ladies and gentlemen. For instance, Beer Mug and Allie, you would have been very excited if you ran into the legendary Red Man from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Sure.
As Muggs did last night in front of the MTV VMAs, and he had a very, very great question for Red Man.
Personal question for Red Man. I was at Caesar's Palace one day, this is a while back, and I saw you in the Forum Shops walking in the Nike store.
All right, where do you think he's going with this, Allie?
It's going to lead to Beats, is all I know.
All right, let's see.
You're hanging out, I don't know what it was for, but you're hanging out just out in the open like a normal guy at the Forum Shops at the Nike store in Caesar's Palace in Vegas.
Okay, yeah, that was...
The question that has been on my mind for all the years since I've seen you.
What do you think he's going to ask Redman? I saw you in the Nike store years ago at Caesar's Palace. Hmm. What has Muggs been carrying around and would have taken to the grave with him if he hadn't run into Redman?
What Nikes did you buy that day?
What kicks did you buy? What'd you end up purchasing?
From the Forum Shop?
I forgot what the hell they was.
Why?
The man smokes more weed than you. Do you think he's going to remember from 3 years ago?
I don't get starstruck, but I was starstruck that day. And he was buying shoes left and right, and I just wanted to see what some of the pairs
he bought. Why did you think he would remember what shoes he bought?
It was a shot in the dark, you know?
Jessica Sula is an actress whom I am not familiar with by name, but she was one of the stars of that M. Night Shyamalan movie called Split that was a huge hit earlier this year. And for some reason, I don't know, Muggs takes it right into the gutter when he's talking about seeing the film.
I peed, excuse my coarse language, I peed my pants, and I might have gone number two.
Oh, no, I hope you got up and changed.
I didn't have any, I had to throw my underwear away in the bath.
Why would you ever bring this up to anybody, much less the person who's in the movie?
It was just, you know, reinforcing the fact that it was a very scary movie. What job well done.
I poop myself.
Yeah, that means it's a scary movie, right?
I've never pooped myself at a scary movie.
But you get the nervous poops, right?
I do. Yeah. I do. You could have said it was a butthole pucker.
Right. There you go. I think less graphic would have been fine. Well, he's not done with Jessica Sula.
I'm with you. You knew it was going to be scary. You should have packed a spare.
It was terrifying. Tell me. Thank you. Stay golden. Jessica Sula loves my t-shirt.
All right, so you're wearing what, a Golden Girls t-shirt?
Yeah, it's all the Golden Girls, and it says Stay Golden on the top of the shirt.
All right, apparently she's impressed, or at least you think she is.
I love the Golden Girls. Yeah. Who's your favorite Golden Girl?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm so indecisive.
Estelle Getty, and I forgot her character name, but Estelle Getty was my favorite.
Yeah, she's pretty badass.
And this poor Jessica Sula, you know, she's just like looking at her watch. She's like, can't my publicist pull me out of? How am I having a conversation with Poopy Pants Guy about the Golden Girls? Like, how is this my life? I thought I was an actress. Cardi B was there. Was she the one who almost had the nip slip on the broadcast last night, Muggs? Did you see
that? I didn't see that, no.
She's the rapper, and Muggs had a great idea of where he needs to be in her universe.
I have a daughter of my own.
That is not the right clip at all.
That was Fair Abraham, yeah.
Yeah, that clip was gone, and I apologize. No. I screwed that up. All right, forget you heard anything about Cardi B, but he definitely wants to join her posse as Cardi O. That was the joke. He wants to be Cardi O, Allie.
Oh, no.
And then someone said, I think it was Jessica Sula said I could be cardiac arrest.
Oh, my God.
I can't.
That's a good
all
one.
Of you.
Oh,
all right, no. Farrah Abraham, who you guys recall was, she was a teen mom, right? Mm-hmm. And then she gave it all up and just essentially abandoned her child and went on the porn circuit mm-hmm. and made all those anal movies and then played every strip club in the country. So that's Farrah Abraham, and that's the person that Muggs decides to get parenting advice from.
I have a daughter of my own, and I'm trying to find ways to, like, be more involved because right now I just sit at home with her a lot and we're very stagnant. So do you have any advice what I could do with my 15-month-old daughter, Farrah?
Yes, I would say
all right,
to get
so
out of
she
house,
has an answer that we really don't care about. But but why in a million years would Farrah Abraham be the one you would go to for parenting advice, Muggs?
Listen, when the publicist brought her to me, I was going to be a hard-hitting journalist. You know, I was going to ask her about the porn, if she's still in that. But she had her daughter with her.
Okay.
So I didn't want to really bring that up. I thought that would be in bad taste. So I said, well, her daughter's with her. Maybe I'll get some parenting advice. I'm a parent. She's a parent. Boom. That's what happened.
All right. When Muggs is on the red carpet and there's nobody in front of him to interview, and again, we're listening to his clips from the VMAs last night, it doesn't mean he stops talking, but it does mean that sometimes we don't need to hear Muggs' inner monologue.
See this girl in the dress right here? Oh, my God. Look at that dress. Holy moly. Wait till she turns around again. Oh, boy. Huh?
I don't like the direction any of that is headed.
Nope.
You guys?
No, I do not.
I was channeling my inner Bean right there.
How dare you? Don't drag me into your filth. All right. The band is called Ocean Park Standoff. Tell me about them, Muggs.
Ocean Park Standoff is a band, three-piece band with Samantha Ronson. Everybody might remember her. Mm-hmm. And Ethan and Pete. And they are a breakout band, and they're plugging their new stuff.
All right, well, Muggs wants to kill one of their members so he can join the band.
Do you guys need a drummer? Because I'm a really good drummer.
I got a good guy right here, otherwise I'd tag you.
Pete, you know what? Watch your back. I'm coming after you, bud.
He's going to break your arm right now. Don't shake his hand after you just said that.
Look how hard I'm squeezing, Carlos. I'm going to crush his hand so I can take over.
All right, so Muggs does have one question for the band, though.
Oh, I'm sorry, Pete. I'm sorry. So tell me, you guys, coming up right now, the most...
By the way, you can tell Muggs has no idea what the end of this question is going to be.
Zero idea.
He is completely winging it.
You guys, coming up right now, what the most difficult thing in such a flooded industry of music is? What's the hardest thing to get across to the fans?
I can't
imagine. Wow. What?
I was confused. What did I just ask?
I'm going to need that sentence diagram.
Holy mackerel.
I think we are.
Man, I'm looking at the clock here, and we have so much more.
Keep going.
Part two?
Keep going part two or keep going right now?
Keep
what
going
do you think?
Right now.
Okay, you can't wait, right? CT is on the red carpet.
Yeah.
MTV star CT. We know him from where, Muggs?
He started The Real World Paris, and now he's on all the challenge. You know, it started as a Real World versus Road Rules challenge, and now it's just the challenge. So he's been on that all the time.
I'm just trying to read between the lines here as you talk to CT, and I feel like he may be an attractive man, right?
He's a very attractive man. You're a beautiful-looking man, and I'm totally hetero, so... It should be a compliment, right?
I appreciate that. Thank you.
It should be a compliment.
It's also a compliment if you're not hetero.
Right?
Yeah.
Either way.
It's a weird distinction to make. Now, here's one of the... So this is one of Muggs' go-tos where he puts the celebrity in an awkward position by bringing up something completely dumb that has nothing to do with the celebrity, but at least Muggs invokes the name of his good friend Randy.
Well, it's funny because I was just talking with my buddy Randy last night. Our buddy Chris has a pit bull, like a mini pit bull. And I swear to God, dude, he's the dog version of you. He looks like you, dude.
Okay, now what is CT supposed to do with the information that you have a friend who has another friend who has a dog that looks like him?
Well, if I was CT, I would be like, well, let me see a picture of the dog.
Well, that's exactly what you're thinking as Muggs.
He looks like you. I gotta somehow find a picture of this dog and send it to you, CT.
I mean, sounds good.
What a nice man, by the way, to not say, no, please don't send me that photo. I'm not interested. All right, my favorite part of the whole red carpet, black and white carpet of the MTV Video Music Awards last night is Beer Mug is excited because he sees a member of the Black Eyed Peas walking by, and Muggs is going to do everything he can to get his attention and get him over here for an interview.
It's Black Eyed Peas! Tattoo! Tattoo! Tattoo!
Allie, what are you thinking right now?
Tattoo's walking. He wants nothing.
By the way, right? Taboo was his name.
Oh, it is Taboo.
Yeah, I was calling him Tattoo.
Oh, it didn't even occur to me. I was laughing too hard. Oh.
I'm like, why isn't he looking?
And it didn't occur to Muggs either. Hold on, he's not done.
No. Tattoo! 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 Tattoo!
I wonder why Taboo just kept on walking and didn't respond to that. And a few minutes later, Muggs realizes...
I just realized that I was calling Taboo from Black Eyed Peas Tattoo. Just realized that. Because I'm an asshole.
Yes, you are. You can see the video of these interviews up later today at KROQ.com. Thanks, Muggs!
You got it.
It seems like robots are taking over the world. You know, I pay particular close attention to what's going on in the robot world.
Of course.
You know, Allie. Mm-hmm. And I'm always a little bit nervous when I see robots being used for different industries because that means they're not spending enough time getting the sex robots perfected. But I guess there are some other things they can do. You know, these self-driving cars are a thing now. I saw a place the other day that the chef is a robot.
Oh.
The chef makes all the meals and never screws them up because it's a robot. It's unbelievable the stuff that they're doing. But how about this? Out of San Francisco, there's a startup there that has created a robot therapist.
Ooh.
Now, with artificial intelligence, they're getting to the point now where they can understand and interpret lots of different language, lots of things that you say to them, and they kind of know what that means, and they kind of can say something back to you that's helpful, apparently. This is not to replace therapists, but this is to be available to you when you wake up in the middle of the night and you have a panic attack, you dial up the Wobot online, and the Wobot will talk to you.
And Wobot, W-O-E, bot.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Wobot sends a message every day to check in on its patients, ask them about its mood and its energy level, draws from cognitive behavior therapy to combat self-defeating thinking. You have access to it when you need it most. 2 a.m., you can't get a doctor, you call the Wobot.
And I just think this is fascinating because, let's face it, wouldn't you say that most things that people go to therapists for fall into some pretty broad categories that are kind of universal?
Sure. I mean, if you're just using this kind of as a little boost, you need a pick-me-up, maybe the Wobot says something inspirational to you,
mm-hmm.
that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, oh, dear God.
You have concerns, do you?
A lot.
Well, why don't we talk to Wobot? Because we were able to get to Dave to line up the AI psychotherapist on the line with us, and I think Wobot can join us, and maybe this will allay your fears and tell us a little bit more about how the program works. Oh, there we
go. This is Wobot. Who is this?
Hey, whoa, you've got to the Kevin and Bean Show calling from K-Rock Radio.
Hello, Kevin and Bean. What does the N stand for?
It's Kevin and two people.
And doesn't start with an A, Kevin.
No, this is
I'll
Bean.
I'll just call you Mr. Bean.
Okay, I guess that's
so,
all right.
Kevin and Bean, what is your problem today?
Allie, you've got some concerns about this. Why don't you handle this? Why don't you talk to Will?
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned that maybe you won't be able to help people in a way that's best for them.
Mr. Kevin N. Bean, you have the voice of a woman. Is that your problem?
Sometimes, yes. Very much so.
Are you confused about your sexuality, Kevin N. Bean?
I am not. I'm a woman. My name is Allie.
You said your name was Kevin, Mr. Bean.
You see, this isn't good.
Okay, yeah. Artie. It's a little misunderstanding. I'm sure we can work this out. There's multiple people on the phone with you right now, Wobot. There's me, Bean, and then... What happened here?
You have multiple personality disorder.
No, I'm not saying
that. No,
I'm...
personality is most dominant?
I'm saying there's more than one person here in the room trying... Oh.
You are more than one person. You are often bipolar.
I don't think I'm accepting your diagnosis of me being bipolar.
You have problems accepting things.
Oh, wow.
You have many issues.
Well, but you're right.
Multi-personality disorder, bipolar, and also hard time accepting reality.
I don't feel
Kevin
like...
Kevin N. Bean, you have a major problem.
Oh, no.
Your middle name starts with an A,
okay.
Yet you call yourself Kevin N. Bean.
Here we go again. I don't think this is going very well, Wobot.
You have a negative attitude. You think things are not going well. You need to look on the sunny side of life.
Okay.
Fix your goddamn life, Bean.
Comedian actor Adam Ray in studio with us next hour. Also, we're going to tell you about some of the weirdest dating apps that are out there. Some of them you're going to want to try. Allie, have you considered Juggalove? Maybe Juggalove is where you need to go to meet a man.
I'm looking into it, yeah.
Except for people who love jugs?
Well, no? They wouldn't be into me.
Right?
First, though, Ralph is back from vacation. We missed you, Ralph. We're so happy to see you today.
Liar!
Thank you. No, I'm serious. We really did. And I'm glad you're back, especially because... many of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show were boycotting the fight for a number of reasons.
Yeah, and, I don't understand you people.
Well, you know,
the reasons are weird.
I said from the time that it was announced that there was nothing on the line. They weren't fighting for anything.
Yeah, that's insane.
I don't think it is, because you got a guy who's retired. We're talking about Mayweather McGregor over the weekend. You got a guy who's retired 2 years since he last boxed, who's 40 years old, boxing a guy who's not even a professional boxer.
But that guy is the greatest of all time.
Yes, he is.
So that's not just like some jamoke coming out of retirement. You got the greatest of all time coming back to fight again.
Yes.
That's already significant.
Fighting an unranked, unprofessional boxer, though.
Hold on. Time out. This guy wasn't a plumber before he got into the ring Saturday mm-hmm. night. He is a professional fighter, just in a different sport.
Yes, that is correct.
That made it even more interesting. It was like, here's the matchup of the two biggest martial art money-making sports right now, then these two guys going to go against each other. It meant something on almost every level.
This was celebrity boxing to me. This was no different than just celebrity. This was
different than Screech getting in the ring with Horseshack.
Well, a lot of people agreed with you because it's one of the biggest pay-per-views of all time.
Yes, because a lot of people like me thought this would force Mayweather to have to fight a fight. Mm-hmm. He would be forced to actually participate in a fight, unlike the past few fights he's had where he's been content just to run around the ring.
Yeah, he just, hey, Dave, the King of Mexico. You saw the fight as well, right?
I did, yes.
All right, so when we came in first thing this morning, I said, you know what? I did nothing but badmouth this event for months, and I did not buy the fight on Saturday night. But then when I woke up and saw how it went, I had a little bit of FOMO that I may have made a bad mistake by not getting the fight, because it sounds like people who got it really got their money's worth out of it.
Yeah.
Who are you talking to? Dave or me?
I'm talking to anybody.
Listen, I enjoyed the fight. I thought it was a great fight. I don't watch boxing as much as Ralph, but this was a fight that made Floyd Mayweather fight. The complaint against Floyd is that he's always defensive and is a counterpuncher. Conor went at him, and then he went at Conor, and then it was an interesting fight.
It was a very entertaining fight.
Yes, it was entertaining.
Certainly the most entertaining fight Mayweather has been a participant in many years.
So his strategy was to just avoid getting hit by Conor McGregor for the first few rounds to wear Conor out because Floyd Mayweather knew that he has far more stamina, right? Because he can go a lot longer in a ring than Conor ever has. That was the strategy?
I think the strategy was to protect himself and figure this guy out. I think that was the strategy. A byproduct of that was, yes, the more he strung him along, the longer he kept him, as he took him into the deep end, as they say, he would have trouble with stamina because, like you said, the MMA fighters don't fight that long in a given bout. And I think that was his strategy, and it certainly paid off. But there was a certain amount of danger to it, too, because early on, McGregor was coming at him hard and heavy, round after round after round. The first four rounds, it seemed like at any moment, if he had gotten a good shot and a lucky shot, he really could have damaged Mayweather.
You thought Mayweather was actually in some danger in those early rounds?
Oh, yes.
Really?
We didn't think he was. I mean, he was trying to figure him out, and Conor McGregor was so unorthodox that, you know, he was switching stances, throwing punches that I haven't seen a boxer do, and it was kind of interesting to watch. And it was just, you know, seeing Mayweather figure him out, that was kind of the genius of Mayweather.
Do you think Conor should, if he presented himself so well against one of the greatest of all time, Ralph, do you think he should consider a career in boxing?
I absolutely think he'd be a very entertaining boxer. I think a lot of people would like to continue to see him fight. As Dave mentioned, it's a very unorthodox stance. But he also, for a guy who's not what they a professional boxer. He's certainly a professional fighter, but not a boxer. Mm-hmm. He knew how to work the angles. He was catching Mayweather with shots that I haven't seen guys land on Mayweather in a long time.
Tell me about that 10th round.
I felt bad for McGregor because he was just gassed. He had nothing left in the tank. It was, you could see it in the end of the 9th. He was just gassed, and he came out at the beginning of the 10th with a little bit of energy, but by the time he was on the ropes there, I mean, the stoppage, McGregor complained about it after the fact, saying he would love to have been, you know, had a chance and, you know, let Mayweather knock him to the ground if that was the way it was going to be. But he could not defend himself. He could no longer raise his arms. And I think Weeks had to make the call at that point just to protect the guy.
I think you have to, yeah. Why did Floyd Mayweather come out in a ski mask at the beginning of the night?
Because he's just a douchebag.
What was that about?
An incredible a-hole.
Was he trying to play a villain or something? Is that what the mindset was?
He's just a mess of a human being. He's a dumpster fire. And I think that's why a lot of people got the fight, because they were hoping against hope. Everybody said, well, this is ridiculous. He had no business being in the ring. First of all, McGregor proved that he had business in that ring. He absolutely acquitted himself in terms of it was a legitimate fight.
So he kind of comes out a winner to a certain respect, because you have to respect him for being able to go 10 rounds with Floyd Mayweather, right?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people were hoping that there was going to be he's going to get a lucky shot in, and anything can happen. We've all seen one fight change things, and one punch in one fight change things. And I think a lot of people were hoping that Mayweather was finally going to get his comeuppance, because he's such a repugnant human being. I think that's why a lot of people spent that money on Saturday night.
You dislike him in the boxing ring is the only place you have any room for Floyd Mayweather.
Well, he's
life,
a remarkable talent. He's enormously skilled, and he proved it again. I mean, as you mentioned, at the age of 40, but he's not an us 40. You know, his 40 is very different than the average man's 40. And he showed once again that he is truly one of the greatest boxers of all time. He is remarkably gifted and a great tactician and a great athlete. And you got to give that to him. But he's just a bad person.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think everybody got their money's worth because the people who wanted the freak show kind of got it when McGregor was throwing those like hammer fist punches. He would get Floyd's back and punch him from behind. So there was a little bit of wackiness in the ring as well. So I think that made for an entertaining fight that everybody enjoyed.
There's no chance there's another one, though, right? This is it.
No.
Well, Mayweather said he'll never fight again. You know, he said that before, but I get the sense, really, now that he's got Marciano's record and, you know, he is the longest unbeaten streak of all time in the sport, I can't imagine he's ever going to come back again. He certainly doesn't need the money. What did he make off of this, $300 million, $400 million?
I think some between two and three, yeah. And knowing what we know about Floyd Mayweather, it may take him 6 months to burn through that, right?
He's got to pay his taxes. Oh,
yeah, now he can pay his taxes.
Is that the Chili Peppers? We're playing the Chili Peppers on our show?
Well, that's a while. We have to mix things up.
That's weird. Yeah. Hey, 7:53 Monday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
We're just talking about the Mayweather-McGregor fight on Saturday night. And numbers are in. Some of them. Preliminary numbers, at least, for Showtime Networks and their pay-per-view, which was charging $99.95 to access the live event. The event has been projected to yield. Any guesses on what the final take on the pay-per-view revenue is going to be? What they're suggesting, what it looks like?
$80 million.
That seems reasonable. That seems like a lot of money, right?
I'm going to say more.
Certainly would be. More,
yeah, Allie? I'll say $120.
Wow, that's pretty, that's a lot of money too, right there, isn't it?
I'll say $200.
It's $200 million generated in revenue?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot of money, Chip.
Come
We're
on!
We're nowhere near it, are we?
$1 billion.
No. I'm sorry, what?
No.
$1 billion.
How's that possible?
Dollars in pay-per-view revenue.
Did everyone on the planet Earth buy it?
Which would shatter previous records for a pay-per-view live event.
Me? Meanwhile, 6,000 empty seats inside the arena in Las Vegas.
Yeah, tickets were expensive.
Yeah, too much.
A lot more than $100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The Fathom Events theatrical distribution of the fight garnered $2.6 million in theaters. They have it about 500 theaters around the country. You could have gone to a theater and watched it if you wanted to as well. Right. But what they're also saying is there was a ton of piracy affecting the fight.
Oh, I'm sure it was all over Periscope, right?
Yes, but also live streamed online. About 239 different live streams they were finding illegally being broadcast on the internet, reaching an estimated 3 million viewers worldwide. So that's gonna bite into that $1 billion they could have made.
Awful.
There, I feel bad for those guys. So they don't have the final numbers yet, but that's what they're speculating and making. $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
You hate to see nice things happen to Floyd Mayweather, though, right?
Well, that's Showtime's take. I don't know what his deal is, but he's not getting $1 billion. He's getting, as we mentioned, $300 million or something. Yeah. And what's McGregor getting? He's getting less than that, but probably 100, maybe?
Probably so, yeah.
They both announced, by the way, that they are starting their clothing lines. They're both launching clothing lines this week.
I can't with these people.
I hope I can get that ski mask. I hope that's offered in Mayweather's collection. I hope he's got that ski mask he was wearing.
He wore a ski mask?
Yes. That's he had a black leather outfit on, like a Michael Jackson outfit with leather and zippers. And then he had a black ski mask on. and a hat.
Wow.
You see Conor McGregor dressing up as little son in a little suit.
Yes.
It's adorable.
It was adorable. It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, see what people went to see in theaters over the weekend. Hitman's Bodyguard, still number one. $10 million made so this week. Annabelle Creation was second. Leap, animated film for kids, came in at number three with $5 million. Wind River, Logan Lucky. Rounds out the top five. Dunkirk, Spider-Man Homecoming, Birth of the Dragon, the Bruce Lee-inspired film. It was eighth, The Emoji Movie, and Girls Trip, rounding out your top 10. Bad week at the box office because of the fight. A lot of people stayed home. They didn't go to the movies.
That makes sense.
Number one movie, made $10 million. Look who's taking another shot at marriage. Russell Brand got married over the weekend. Said I do to his girlfriend, Laura Gallacher, at a little church in England. Guests include Noel Gallagher from Oasis. Bet he had a good time. It's hard to remember that Russell Brand and Katy Perry were married.
Yeah, it seems like a long,
long time ago.
It was just a blip, too, right?
For 14 months. They were married in 2010. But Russell's got a baby with this girlfriend, Laura, so I'm glad they're married. I hope it works out.
I do, too. I like Russell Brand a lot. Did you see who else got married over the weekend?
No, who did?
Talk about low-key. Talk about getting married on the day that the fewest people in the world would be paying attention to fighters, the day of the Mayweather-McGregor fight. Ronda Rousey got married to Travis Brown over the weekend. Yeah.
What?
They got married on Saturday, same day as the fight.
Son of a gun.
I found out about it because I saw it in a Dana White interview. He's like, yeah, I was invited to the wedding, but, you know, kind of busy. So he couldn't make it. They got married in Hawaii.
Speaking of weddings, Bono was supposed to sing the Irish national anthem at the fight in Vegas on Saturday. Mm-hmm. But he had to be at a wedding.
Dana told us that story on our show on Friday morning.
Yeah, his former manager got married in Ireland, so Bono couldn't do it. So Imelda May stepped in and did a great job, I thought, with the song. It's a beautiful national anthem.
I didn't see that. I like her very much, though.
Speaking of seeing things, I've been taking a look at some clips from the VMAs. I didn't watch those because it was the VMAs.
Uh-huh.
But I'm seeing some clips, and I got to tell you, that Lorde, she's got a future in dance, right?
She dances like no one's watching.
She dances like Elaine Bettis is what she dances like. What the F was that all about?
She dances to the beat of her own drummer.
She should not dance to the beat of any drummer.
It's an interesting look.
She looked like a dumbass.
Oh.
Look.
Don't be a dumbass, Lorde.
I wouldn't say that about Lorde.
Did you see her dance?
I did.
And?
It's not for me.
It's not for anyone, but because it was barely dancing. She laid down a lot.
I respect her as an artist, just trying to express herself. Look, she didn't want to disappoint the kids. She was super sick. She had the flu. She couldn't perform.
Go home. Eat some soup.
But she still...
Get under a blanket. Don't subject people to what you just did. Putting on a boombox and rolling around like a dumbass.
It was one of the strangest things I've ever seen on an award show, that's for sure.
Maybe her fever kicked in right then.
Maybe.
It's the only thing I can think.
It did look like a fever dream.
Oh, it was a great contemporary performance.
Oh, Dave.
Jeez, Dave. What, does she owe you money?
We're pals.
You're not pals. So, in really good music news, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you some good news for a change. New supergroup has just been announced called Action Skulls. Already I'm in. The name
Skulls.
Alone. Action Skulls.
Sounds like the new Edgar Wright movie.
Vicky Peterson of the Bangles.
Okay.
John Cowsill of the Cowsills.
All right.
And actor Billy Mummy, best known as Will Robinson from Lost in Space.
You said supergroup.
You heard me. That is a supergroup.
Huh.
Their new album will be out on September 29th. It's called Angels Here. And I don't know what it is or what's happening, but I'm in.
Did they
all those things I like.
Just put the names of all the people in the world into a hat and just pull out three and make them be in a band?
That is a random grouping right there.
It sure is.
But it's Action Skulls. Today's celebrity birthday is Luis Guzman is 61 years old. Today, Shania Twain turns 52. Jack Black is 48 years old, as is Jason Priestley. And Florence Welch. You know her and her machine. She's 31, as is actor Armie Hammer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thunder.
Oh,
Thunder.
Bean.
I can't do it the way Dan does it.
Well, don't try.
I shouldn't try. Okay. You're right about that. Hey, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean show here for a Monday morning. Thanks so much for listening. Quick reminder, by the way, and I know I mentioned this a couple times already, but I'm going to keep hammering it until you do it. Please text the word Harvey to 90999. To make a one-time and very speedy $10 donation to the American Red Cross to help those people who are in just desperate, desperate times in Texas right now. Just catastrophic flooding. If you didn't see anything on it over the weekend, it's real bad, you guys. It's hard to even imagine 50 inches of rain coming down over the course of a few days, but they could very much use your help. So 90999.
Ali, you brought this to our attention last week, a very funny article by, coincidentally, somebody that you are friends with, Allison Siegel, who's on the line.
Oh, she's a delight.
She is a delight, and she's so funny. You should definitely follow her on Twitter, at OnlineAllison. She's hilarious. But the article is 9 of the weirdest dating apps to try, because what do you really have to lose? Allison writes for all sorts of great publications, including EliteDaily.com, and with XO Jane, Hello Giggles, Vice, a whole bunch more. And she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Allison, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
So happy to have you on. Say hi to Allie.
Hey, Allie.
Hi,
how
Allison.
Are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. My name, buddy.
I know.
So are you a single gal, Allison?
I am a single gal.
So when you were researching this article and you found some of these crazier dating apps, did you actually, like, sign up and, like, check it out and dig around under the hood to see what they're all about?
You're asking right now if I'm a member of Juggalove.com is yes, what I'm gathering.
Yes, I am. That's exactly what my thought was.
No, I have not signed up, but I'm not going to lie. Hot Sauce Passions is of curiosity to me.
All right, tell me about Hot Sauce Passions.
Okay, so Hot Sauce Passions is a website for people who love things like Tapatio or Cholula. My curiosity, though, with Hot Sauce Passions is that it also includes a book club and a webcam on the website. So I'm not really sure exactly if it's a dating service or what kind of thing this is, but the website says that it's a social network, a dating website, and a place to find emotional support if you love hot sauce.
That has a lot going on.
Yes.
Imagine loving hot sauce so much, though, that that is your defining characteristic. Like, yeah. Some people would be what their favorite sports team is, or even what their religion is, or something like that. Hot sauce is your thing. I mean, that's hard to imagine there are enough people to keep an app like this going.
And also, what does a first date look like between two people who love hot sauce?
I think you know, Allison. I think you know.
I think you just have to one-up each other on who likes it hotter, I would imagine.
What's the aftermath of a first date?
Well, yes. That's disturbing.
That is a great
question.
Maybe
that's where the webcam comes in. That's a whole other fetish.
Yeah, that's the webcam fetish part.
You mentioned FarmersOnly.com, I would imagine it's the most well-known of the apps that you reviewed in this piece, right?
Yes, for sure, and they have those great commercials.
I do love the commercials and the song. I mean, it's catchy.
Yeah, they have a good jingle.
Sure.
You consider a farmer, Allie? What do you think?
Absolutely. They have the flannels. They have the good beers. The cowboy hat, I could take it or leave it. But the tractors, I'm also very into as a means of transportation. I think that's fantastic.
I wasn't surprised that there is a website for Juggalos and Juggalettes. That just makes sense because that's a special breed of people, the Insane Clown Posse fans. But I was surprised to see you write about a site called ClownDating.com. What'd you find out about that?
Okay, so ClownDating.com is a website for people who have a clown fetish. Now, a clown fetish entails a very certain type of sexual activity. There's a fetish for everything. But this means you like being spanked with rubber chickens.
Sure.
As one does. That's actually how Allie and I became friends.
Yes.
Okay.
If you want to know the backstory.
It's true.
All right.
You like a cream pie to the face.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, no, literally a pie.
Oh, an actual cream pie. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I misunderstood. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Should have had the backstory of that. You wear red shoes, the large red shoes, into the bedroom, full clown makeup, the wigs. So if that's your thing, then Clown Singles is for you.
Okay, but as nearly as you can tell, it's not a joke site that somebody just set up to imagine how funny it would be if there were clown fetishists finding each other. You think this is real and there are members and there are people meeting on a site like that?
Oh, no. Clowns, I've done fetish writing before, and clown dating is an actual real subset of the BDSM kink community.
No
Absolutely.
Kidding. Are they all in on the It movie coming out in a couple of weeks? Is that like the biggest event on their calendar all year long, I would imagine?
Yeah, for many people who have clown fetishes, it was like a seminal movie for their development, for like their sexual development.
This is an educational interview here today.
I'm telling you. Allison's got a lot of info on things we never even thought of. It's amazing.
Bozo the Clown, Ronald McDonald, and like Stephen King's It were seminal features in like their...
How about that? A deep dive into clown fetishing.
Yeah.
How about, you know, there's one I just noticed. There's one on the list, and we're talking to writer Allison Siegel about her article on EliteDaily.com, 9 of the Weirdest Dating Apps to Try. And there's one that I just noticed that we've had a lot of experience with here on the Kevin Bean Show over the years, because a lot of times we'll hold concert events and we'll be at a hotel the same time that the furry convention is going on.
Yeah.
We have met hundreds of furries over the years working here for K-Rock. And I don't know how you found the furry community. They are the nicest people in the world, Allison.
So nice. I've interviewed a lot of furries before, too, and they are like the sweetest, kindest, most inclusive people ever.
Totally.
Yes. And it's kind of like a deviation of the anime community.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that they're actually, the whole sexual connotation to their subculture isn't necessarily true.
Yeah, that was my understanding, too, is that they are furries who happen to have sex with other people who are into furries, just like anybody would happen to have sex with people. But the furry is kind of separate from the sexuality, is what it seemed like to me, if I'm not wrong on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I got the same feeling from that we tend to sexualize what isn't necessarily a sexual, you know, instance, that they're mostly into, you know, the drawing aspect of it and... like the anime, the large costumes, the getting together, things like that, and then we've kind of perverted whatever it is that they're doing.
Exactly. We're the freaks on the outside of the furry community.
Yes, literally. I think we are the ones with the fetish.
All right. Last one I wanted to ask you about, Zombie Passions. That's a dating site?
Yes, Zombie Passions, for if you like long, slow walks around the mall and eating brains.
And what are these people like? Who are the Zombie Passion folks?
Listen, this one I think is mostly a joke, clearly.
Okay.
But if you like horror movies and if this is kind of in your wheelhouse, I would go to Zombie Passions, find a like-minded zombie movie aficionado.
All right. I bet this is just scraping the surface, by the way. I bet now you're going to get a lot of people who are going to be reaching out to you telling you of other crazy sites that exist that you didn't even know about.
Yeah, and maybe people can find me on Jug of Love as Clown Daddy Whoop.
EliteDaily.com is where you find the article. Look for Allison on Twitter at OnlineAllison. A lot of fun talking to you. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, comedian, actor Adam Ray joins us in studio on camera. Why am I the only one applauding?
Yay!
How about some love for Adam Ray?
How about some love? Come on.
What's up, buddy?
Thanks. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, I wanted to put in a quick plug. I know it's a few weeks old now, but for listeners who are interested in the Kevin and Bean Show, listen to the interview that you and your life partner Brad Williams did on your About Last Night podcast with my radio partner, Kevin Ryder.
I mean,
which was a fascinating episode.
It was fascinating is the right word. Like, there are certain, you think you know somebody until you sit down in your apartment with some candles from Rite Aid and the Stairmaster in the corner, and you go, you know what, now I feel like I know what they're all about.
Yeah.
But he's a great, I mean, you know, I guess you just assume, like, yeah, you're in radio, you should be a great podcast guest. Mm-hmm. But, like, he brought it.
And it was a lot of fun, only because we have so many people who have joined the show. You know, they've been listening for 2 years, they've been listening for 8 years, they've been listening for 15 years.
Yeah, you're constantly gaining followers.
But they still missed a lot of stuff.
Right.
And that's why I think they'll find it interesting to hear about kind of the early days of how the whole thing came together.
Oh, you know? Totally.
So definitely check it out. And it looks like you have been busy. You've been everywhere, man.
Been busy. I've been on the road for the last like 3-4 months, which is great. Just trying to build that hour and get that ready to hopefully lay down here in the next, I don't know, year or so. You know?
You're in town this week. You're doing the Hollywood Improv Wednesday night, the Ontario Improv Thursday night.
You can get tickets
for both shows. Just go to your site, adamraycomedy.com, or also improv.com.
Go to improv.com. I always send them to mine first just so they can get the other goodies, improv.com.
So you're playing here this week.
Or clownsinglescom. I think there's actually...
totally different.
There's like a... No, there's actually a link. I'm trying to get them to be
for
sponsored.
Tickets?
Yeah, no,
that's
I'm
nice.
Joking. I'm joking. By the way, if that does happen and a whole bunch of clowns show up...
That'd be fine.
Amazing.
I mean, I don't know what I'd do. I guess I would like let them. What was it? Rubber chickens in the
hit with rubber chickens and cream pies to the face.
Cream pies to the face.
You know about that.
There's, yeah, I do. Yeah. There's that noise. There's that familiar sound from my bar mitzvah.
You scheduled it. You worked it out with your schedule this week, so you'd be in town this week because you have a very important task this weekend.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine that Brad's wedding is already happening next weekend.
You mentioned my life partner, but you know, hey, that's being called into question this weekend.
Yeah. He's cheating on you with a woman.
Is
that's
this
right.
hard? Yes. Like, is a part of it kind of hard? You're losing him, essentially.
Oh yeah. Like, yeah. For sure. Like, any friend of mine that's gotten married... there's definitely, like, in the social calendar, like, you rip out a month.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes the whole calendar. Mm-hmm. And then when you had babies, you burn the calendar.
It's over.
And you just, like, yeah.
Oh, they won't want to hang out with you anymore. And they also don't, married people don't want to hang out with just a single dude either, in general, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, totally. And it's, even, like, my friends now with kids, like, it's just a different hang when you go home. It's, like, a lot less, like, 10:30 at night text of, like, karaoke and a lot more 7:30 a.m. photo text of, like, look at my kid's new haircut. And I'm like, no, you know, stop sending that. Like, what are you? And then I end up overcompensating because I know they want me to be involved. So mm-hmm. I, like, try to say something, but I'm like, you know, sweet haircut. Like, he doesn't even look nine. Like, he's going to get, you know, so much tail with that mullet. Like, you know, just... That rat tail's killing, you know, but Brad, I think, is still a few years away from kids.
You know, I hope so. What's the pressure like for you being not only his legitimate best friend, but being a professional comedian? You're the best man. You have to give a speech.
I think, first of all, I want to correct you. I'm not the best man.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I guess I just assumed.
And I love that about you, Bean. You're always been a solid assumer. But but your assuming skills are top notch. I think it's his brother-in-law. I think he didn't want to have to pick, or I don't know what the reasoning was again. Maybe we should get him on the phone.
Maybe you're just not that close of friends.
I mean, maybe it's just all, yeah.
It's all in your head.
It's all in my head. He's like, dude, I barely want to come to your house for the podcast. No, he has a bunch. I'm a groomsman, but I am going to make it. There's going to be a moment when he can have speeches be made. By, it's like open, you know, open
mic
call.
Night?
Yeah, open mic night.
Oh, no.
Are there going to be a lot of comedians there, Adam?
I think there's going to be a handful. I know Jim Jeffries and some others that aren't as famous. And... yeah, but I definitely am going to get up and say something. And actually, if you don't mind, I wrote down a practice speech, and I would love to
test it out
on you guys and the Kevin and Bean listeners.
Sure. That's all right.
This has never before been heard or read. Okay.
It's exciting, especially for me, since I RSVP'd no, and I won't get to hear this in person.
Well,
so.
Here you go. That's partially why I did it. Brad, wow. Here it is. The moment you've dreamed about. You know, I never thought when I was a young boy double-fisting Pop-Tarts, dreaming of an NBA career, that my favorite Keebler would break away from this cookie chamber and pursue a life of comedy. But thank goodness you did, man. You've not only been my best friend for the past 8 years, but you're pretty much like a brother to me. And, you know, sometimes a son. When I get really high, I'll look down and pretend you're a child. But being here today is a treat, you know, especially because of the open bar. And that dwarf girl you said I might have a shot with. You know, that Clown Singles account. They pulled my pass. You know, Brad, it wasn't on my bucket list to see a dwarf get married. But after it happens, I'm going to go home, right down, and cross it off my bucket list. It should have been there. I got to dream bigger. No pun intended. Bradley, you found the love of your life, and I couldn't be happier. If that threesome app doesn't sponsor your next tour, you should definitely sue them. And I know a great lawyer. And yes, he's Jewish. Your bride-to-be is a perfect partner, Brad. She lets you be you. All your friends love her, and she's a black belt, which means she can protect you from intruders or when big dogs come out of nowhere and try to kill you. Mazel tov and congrats, Brad.
Oh, not a dry eye.
No, that's going to be... Look, I don't like to say there's like speech of the night,
right.
Like awards that they give out before the wedding happens, but you know, I think I might have just...
Nailed it.
Right?
Yeah.
Adam Ray and friends at the Hollywood Improv Wednesday night, Ontario Improv on Thursday. Tickets for both shows, just $15, you
guys.
Come on. AdamRayComedy.com. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Comedian, actor Adam Ray in studio with us right now, appearing at the Hollywood Improv this Wednesday night at the Ontario Improv on Thursday. Tickets for both shows on sale now, AdamRayComedy.com.
That's right.
By the way, Adam, since the last time you were in.
Yeah.
I heard that are on the new season.
Six
of
Inches. What's that?
Oh,
no. Sorry.
You're on the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm that's debuting in October.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Oh, you know what? Just a little bit of Hollywood magic, some prayers. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's my favorite show on planet Earth. I don't know what your favorite show is.
It's up there.
It's up there. It's on the list for sure.
It's up there with like Caillou and like the Home and Garden Network. And I've been friends with Jeff Garland for a little bit now and Allison Jones.
You were in his Netflix movie,
yeah,
right?
Handsome. Yeah,
I remember. I love that. I love that, by the way.
Yeah, that was so fun. And so Allison Jones, who cast me in The Heat, and you know, she cast The Office and Curb and Veep, and she's just one of the top gals. She's been bringing me in forever, so it's like that's what you need when you're out here. You need a handful of casting directors that are, you know, just have you on their short list and are always keeping you in mind. And,
nice.
And I've expressed to her that Curb was my favorite show for a long time, so... when it came around, I was like, man, anything that's right, even like a guy walking in the back, like I just wanted to be so badly involved and be able to be on set with Larry.
Now, did you know Larry at all before you got hired?
I felt like I did.
But you didn't.
No, that's a hard no. Yeah.
So you're intimidated as hell when you show up there.
I mean, it's the audition. I couldn't have been more nervous before. And then literally when I walked in, I see Garland and the producers and this guy Jeff Schaefer and his wife, who are EPs. They created The League and Allison and just a lot of comedy beasts in there. But then for whatever reason, I meet Larry and I sit down and it was just like I settled in and you know, everything I think you do kind of preps you for what you're about to do.
Wait, so your audition was with Larry?
Yeah,
holy.
Two of them.
Holy moly.
I can't say what I did because they won't let us do that, but it was... Yeah, I was with him both times. They had me do it once as me, and then they had me do it again with an accent. And it's just all improv. And it's luckily I felt like I was listening to an episode at one point because I just knew kind of how to build a scene and how to. And they were saying too, they're like, don't be funny, like don't try to be funny, but obviously you got to be cognizant of like planting some seeds. And I think that's what worked for me was that like I would kind of make some lines that may seem like jokes, but obviously.
It
commit
was
to him as like,
gave him somewhere to go with.
Totally.
Right.
Let him be the one to pick it up and drive it down the next lane. And,
holy, out
and
of body.
Follow. Oh, it was,
yes.
I literally, I've never had an audition, because only a handful of times have I done things like that with the people that are, heads of the show or the movie or whatever, but never been as starstruck or out of body. And I literally walked out. Just like, I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I just with Larry David. And she was like, Wait, what? And who? And I was like, all right, I'll call somebody else. And and it was just like, at that point, I was like, I don't even care if I get it because it was such And then 2 seconds later, you're like, I hope I get this because I.
I mean, that must feel like, Adam, and I know you're a big sports fan, but that must feel like a major league at bat. I'm in the show right now.
Wow, what a great way to put it. Yeah. Totally. And then the shooting day was just, we did a handful of takes and it was really interesting because I definitely got in my head on shoot day and I like couldn't, I was not trying to recreate what we did because you do all, you're just doing all new stuff. And that's what I love about it too. They're like, they didn't want like, hey, like take some of these things from the audition and say that again. They're, it's really all, they give you some beats and then we did about 8 or 9 takes. And,
oh, that many? That surprises me.
Yeah,
because they make it look so effortless that it feels like you're just watching a documentary.
Me. Usually they do 2 to 3 with the pros. That seems like way too many. But totally. But then, and so Larry would speak up and be like, hey, maybe like say something like this. And like, I like how you said that. Like maybe if you say that like this maybe, but also like let's play around with this or like see what happens if this happens. You know, it was never though a specific like line read of like do this. And then finally we got it on I'd say, the first 7 takes were all fine, but I hadn't made them break like I did in the auditions. I made them break and, bust up laughing in the auditions. So when you have that as your basis for comparison, you're like, if I'm not doing that in the shoot, then this is not going to be as good. But it was all fine. And then on the last one, they were like, all right, let's just get a pickup on this moment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, is it from this or are we starting from the beginning or are we just going to start from the middle? And I couldn't get out the question and they just started. And then Larry just started talking and it was the beginning of the scene. So it kind of freed me up and took me out of my head. And that ended up being the longest take. He broke like 4 times. I was just like locked in. And then after that, he was just like, we got it. And I was like, okay, cool. Now I feel like they have enough to use.
Otherwise, I can't wait.
Otherwise, it would have been seven takes, me being like, you're the man, Larry. And they're like, cut, you can't say that. We are doing a scene here.
Stop trying to hug him, Adam.
I watch you every night. Yeah, my name's Adam. Will you sign this? Put your you know, away.
By the way, our
calf. Jeez, perverts in the
our
house.
Our pal Jimmy Kimmel is on this coming season, too.
Is he? I'm
so excited about.
Dude, the amount of, I got to go to this little rap party, and the amount of, like, they showed a blooper reel, like, the amount of people that are in it that are like, I don't know, it's just going to be, it's bonkers. And the stories are, like, next level. He just, you know, it makes sense that he waited this long. Apparently, David Steinberg, we had him on the podcast a while ago, and he directs, you know, comedy legend David Steinberg. He's directed so many episodes, and he was telling us when it got picked up, he was like, the stories that Larry came up with and the way he, like, weaved them together, it's like, it makes sense that he waited until he felt this, like, inspired to put
that's
it together.
That's great news. Yeah. I'm so happy that it's coming back. Because it's been 5 years since we had
the episode, way too long,
That's a long time to
wait. Since I've been on TV, too. No.
And everybody says that, you know, I mean, Larry's persona is an exaggerated version of what he's like in real life. But working with him, you didn't get any of that sense that he's just annoyed with everything all the time.
No, he's so sweet. Even at the rap party, I was like, you know, I'm not a huge picture guy, but certain people, like when I met Robin Williams or you know, even Sandra and Melissa after the Heat, when I just go, I don't know if I'm ever going to see this person again. Like, you want to... You know, I've always heard from people like, you know, act like you're, you know, like you're gonna,
like you've been there before.
Yeah, and like that you're in the club now, and that you're gonna like run into them again. But I'm like, yeah, but who knows? Maybe not. There's so many gigs and things, and just like, you know, you don't know how it's gonna match up. And so I talked to him for a little bit, and I was like, hey, Larry, the, you know, whatever guy from the shoot a few days ago. He goes, oh yeah, yeah, what's going on? And I go, oh man, just you know, just enjoying the party. I go, you having a good time? He goes, yeah.
I love it.
He goes, all right. I go, did you get any of that little chicken with the little cheese thing? He goes, what is that? He goes, chicken, is it, am I supposed to dip it in the cheese? Dude, he just started like, oh man, it was like, and I'm like laughing, but also just trying to like, you know,
be
yes
cool.
And I'm like, yeah, man, the cheese, what's it doing there, you know? And then I just was like, do you mind if I get a picture? He's like, yeah, sure, yeah. And then like everyone was taking pictures with him. So
that's your life right there, Adam.
I mean,
that's
best.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, we're out of time. I'm
we
sad
are?
To say. Great story.
Well, I will put a pin in my my Trump supporter stories from the road because maybe that's for next time. I'll just say this. Let me just title one of the stories.
Okay.
Trump supporter waves tampon in front of my face. Post show.
All right. Let's let's remember this and we'll revisit it next time you come by.
Yeah.
Adam Ray and Friends at the Hollywood Improv Wednesday night.
It wasn't
night.
Used.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the package.
Wednesday night at 8 and at the Hollywood, the Ontario Improv Thursday night at 8. Tickets for both shows available right now. AdamRayComedy.com. Maybe you'll hear the tampon story.
You might. You definitely will. You'll also hear, I've been doing on the road this past year, I bring this piano player named Avery Pearson. I do my 45-50 stand-up, and then we do about 20 to 25 of improvised musical crowd work. And it's... look, we've been doing it for a year now, and nobody else does it, and it's getting really tight, and I do it at these shows, and you got to come. And there might be a special surprise on Wednesday, too. I'm New Kids on the Block. I'm going to say that. Okay.
Jelly.
Maybe.
Super
totally
fun.
Jelly.
I love
AdamRayComedy.com. See you soon, Adam. Thanks.
Thanks, bud.
Ralph Garman is back from vacation. Back from vacation and here with the Showbiz Beat. On a Monday morning Kevin Beat Show, what's going on?
It's Cal's favorite band.
Oh, yeah.
Guess it could be the Dead Milkmen. Be another band they might like.
I mean, really?
You got a whole cow chunk.
This is just off the top of my head, man. This isn't even prep.
It's
this
a gift.
Gift. This is pearls before swine, you people. Let's think of other bands cows would like.
I just cannot right now.
Meat puppets?
Meat puppets! There you go, Chip. That's the spirit. My diminutive cohort. All right, let's talk about top 10 movies at the box office, because that's what we do on a Monday morning. We look to see what people went to see in the theaters. Not a big box office weekend, because you got to remember, there was a big fight on Saturday night, so a lot of people were spending their hard-earned money at home, giving it to Showtime for $100. I know I did, but I enjoyed it. We were talking to Adam in the other room, and a lot of us said it was one of the more entertaining fights we've ever seen. That's all we were really hoping for. It was an entertaining fight, and we got
it. I think even Floyd realized that a lot of people feel like they got ripped off buying his pay-per-views in the past, and he felt like he had kind of a responsibility to make it a good show
for once. He said so in the post-interview. He said, I had to make up for the Pacquiao fight.
Huh.
So I think he was aware that he was not a very entertaining fighter before. But
do you think at all that this kind of makes boxing look a little bad if a guy that just trained for 6 weeks, not a boxer, went in there and lasted 10 rounds?
I think people keep saying, you know, the guy just walked in there, but this guy hits people for a living, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you've got to think something instinctual in him then wants to lay him out with a kick, wants to do...
Oh, it was. He fought his instincts. He was coming down several times with, like, hammer punches, yeah, to the back of Mayweather's head.
Yeah.
Because Mayweather kept putting his head down and coming into his chest, and he would hit him like that, like you do in MMA, you know, and the ref would have to warn him off.
Oh.
There was a moment during the fight where one of the analysts said he might get a point taken away if he keeps that up. And Barely he was able to restrain himself. But for the most part, he acquitted himself very well as a boxer. But you have to remember, this guy knows how to hit people. He's not a rookie.
For sure. But he's not a boxer.
No, but he's a fighter. And I think and there's a lot of boxers. He's not a lover. I don't know if he's a lover or not. But there's a lot of boxers who are fighters. You know, there's a lot of guys who are punchers. There's so many different styles. For every fighter you have, you've got a different style. Now, Mayweather's is technically superior, and I think that proved itself out on Saturday. But
no one ever figured out a way to beat him.
I didn't watch the fight, but I am receiving a lot of tweets about Conor's package. Calling him the Anaconda. Did I miss something?
He seemed excited at the weigh-in. He seemed happy to be there. Yeah.
Holy crap, I need to look into this.
Yeah. Oh, sure, now you're interested.
I mean... Yeah.
Now there's wang bone involved.
Yeah, wang bone. Oh,
women love the wang bone, don't they?
Said it for years.
don't we have audio to that effect? Look
women
it up,
love
Chip.
The
Look
wang
up
bone?
Wang bone. Look up wang bone. I remember. Why do I remember that being something?
I got it.
Oh, here we go.
Chicks love wang bone.
Right?
Why do you think they have strap-ons and things of that nature?
That's what
wang bone.
Chicks dig wang bone.
Okay.
All right, what was I talking about? Oh, the weekend box office. Hitman's Bodyguard came in at number one with $10 million. Then Annabelle Creation, Leap, Wind River, Logan Lucky. Those are your top five films. Dunkirk came in at six. Spider-Man Homecoming, Birth of the Dragon, the Bruce Lee-inspired film, was number eight. Debuted with just $2.5 million. The Emoji Movie and Girls Trip. Those are your top 10 films at the box office. Taylor Swift. Well, she got what she wanted. Everybody's talking about her. Her new video debuted last night on MTV during the Video Music Awards. And there she was, looking all, oh, look at me. I'm a dominatrix. Ooh, now I'm the queen of the snakes. Ooh, now I'm a zombie. It's just, it looks like a parody. It looks like a parody of a video.
Yeah.
She threw a lot into that one.
And then at the end, she's got all of her previous incarnations lined up against a jumbo jet. And she's arguing with herself, like, oh, you always play the victim. No, it doesn't go away just because you say it out loud and you think, oh, I'm addressing it. No, stop it.
Ralph, you wouldn't have any way of knowing this, but I think Dave's trying to get Taylor on the phone for us to talk to after the top of the hour.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm embarrassed.
She may have something to say.
Right. I'm not going to sit in on that interview.
I will not be in
this studio for that interview. I refuse. And, Allie, if you were going to do something else with your life, if you were going to pick another career other than broadcasting. Mm-hmm.
Which we advise, by the way.
I can hear you.
Oh. And I think we're all lucky that you made this choice I was going to say.
Thank you.
Oh.
What would you have done otherwise? What profession do you think you would have taken up in its stead?
I would have been a puppeteer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, that's what I think what anybody would have guessed.
No.
Puppeteer.
Didn't see that coming.
No, I did not see that coming. What about you, Bean? What would you have been?
I'm not going to lie. I know the answer to this because it's my life.
I would have been a postman.
No, my lifelong dream is to be a country music songwriter.
Oh, wow.
That's what I would have done differently.
Interesting.
How? What? What the?
Because I respect the people who do it well so much that I would love to be among them.
Why country music songwriter? Yeah, why not songwriter?
Because those are the best lyrics. Country music songs have the best lyrics. That's why.
Oh, my Lord.
Okay.
They're some of the most powerful and affecting songs I've heard my entire life, and I would love to have been able to contribute to that.
You have completed your journey to awful. You are now completely there.
You were asking me what I would have done had I not gotten into radio, and that's the answer.
I would have made that my life's work and taken it seriously. How about you, Ralph? What would your backup plan have been? I mean, radio wasn't even your thing. I mean, acting, obviously, was your passion, right? That was
yeah.
your number one.
Private detective.
Yeah, I thought forensic scientist for a second, but there's math.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Private detective.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pro would basketball you be a, for me, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You still have that shot.
You'd want to be a private dick who's a sex machine to all the chicks, then.
Shut your mouth.
I'm talking about you being a private investigator.
Kevin's so lucky. He's dead.
He's so lucky.
Anyway,
tell you what. That's legendary, my boy.
Legendary, my boy. The reason I bring it up is because Kate Winslet's original plan was to become a hairdresser.
Really?
She would have been a hairdresser if not for her meteoric success in show business. Yeah, her ridiculous talent as an actress. She said she had to reconsider that life choice, however, when she was giving a practice haircut to a friend and almost cut off his ear.
It's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Cut the friend's earlobe through.
Oh, wow.
Through.
I don't think it came all the way off, but it did take a chunk.
Oh, wow.
The guy, who's still friends with Kate, by the way, she says is a bit scarred, but he's kind of proud of his permanent mark that he's got from a famous friend now.
Can you imagine?
Show that off at parties. Right? Kate Winslet did this
to me. She's cut my hair.
Like she does. Kate Winslet, hairdresser.
That would have been quite a loss.
It
for
sure
the rest
was,
of us.
Yes. Not as much as you as a country music songwriter, though.
And he said they write the best songs.
The most meaningful and effective music I've ever heard.
It's true. Look, you look at a Hank Williams song or a Willie Nelson song or a Merle Haggard song, and it's a beautiful economy of words that evokes so much emotion.
I agree when you go that far back.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's the country music that I fell in love with and inspires
you
me.
You have any country music songs you've penned, Bean? If you can bring them for us?
I don't, but I have a feeling
go through your catalog.
I have a feeling the K-Rock microphones were there for some of the rehearsals, though.
I hope so.
This is one of Bean's, I think.
I fill you up. Let's have a party.
With chocolate milk.
Let's have a party.
It's a little old. Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of country music, Shania Twain. Man, that's a good deal right there, isn't it?
She's an attractive lady.
52 years old. That's thanks.
Tens of millions of albums sold. That's Shania Twain, too, by the way.
She's but doesn't popular.
She just vanishes in between album cycles. Like, you never hear about her when she's not working.
I don't look for her when she's not working.
Well, okay, there's that.
I don't go, I wonder what Shania Twain's up to. Never crosses my mind. Luis Guzman, very talented funny man, is 61 years old. Jack Black, speaking of funny, he's 48. Jason Priestley, also 48. Florence Welch is 31. And Armie Hammer, 31 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ, LNAOC's alternative rock. We got you covered for the MTV Video Music Awards this hour because in about 10 minutes or so, we'll bring you some interviews on the red carpet that Beer Mug did with some of the celebrities at the show last night. And then Muggs was super Muggsy last night.
He was all Muggs.
He was way Muggs. I think you'll enjoy that. Plus, I'm going to talk about Taylor Swift a little bit. Thursday night, she dropped her new song. Allie, I'm reading between the lines here. You haven't said as much, but I think you don't love the song?
I said as much on Friday when I did Showbiz. Mm-hmm. It's bad. It's just bad.
Bad. All right.
It's bad.
Let's hear a little bit of the Look What You Made Me Do song.
I don't like your little games. Don't like your tilted stage, the role you made me play, the fool. No, I don't like you.
All right, so this is Taylor after being relatively quiet over the last year, kind of lashing out at everybody she feels like has done her wrong. So that was Thursday night. People had a chance to chew on that all weekend long. And then last night, she came out with the video, the world premiere of her video during the MTV VMAs. And she's not making a lot of fans as a result of the video. But even though she says she's not going to talk about it, even though she says she's not doing interviews, there will be no further explanation. There will just be reputation. Somehow, our producer Dave, the King of Mexico, was able to get us Taylor Swift on the phone to join us on K-Rock right now with her first interview about the new song and video. Hi, Taylor. Welcome back.
I can't come to the phone right now.
We were told you were
on. Dead.
Right, you're not dead, Taylor. You're not dead.
Oh my God, I'm not dead.
No, it's just. I guess it's your way of saying you're burying your personas of the past, right?
Yeah.
So
now I'm tough. see what you made me do?
How did I make you do any of that?
You made me do it because of all your opinions about me and picking on me. Now I'm back.
Okay, but nobody's making you do any of
these. You made me do it.
You're a 26-year-old woman or 27, whatever you are now. You can make your own choices. You don't have to react to what people say and do.
Look at all the snakes I have now. I have a lot of snakes. That's different, isn't it?
Well,
I have a new attitude, and I'm mean now.
I don't think you're pulling it off, Taylor, and I don't think
is that a whip?
Yeah.
Who are you whipping?
Nothing yet, but I'm still working on it.
Okay.
I think what I'm saying is, and I'm a fan, Taylor. Please understand, I'm a huge fan of yours, but I don't think you're a good enough actress to pull off this new tough girl look.
I'm the actress in your nightmares.
That's what you say in the song. Yeah, exactly. Oh, what? You all right? What happened there?
I broke some glass because I'm going to eat it.
But don't eat glass, Taylor.
I eat glass now.
No, there's
okay,
no reason
no.
to.
I do.
Ooh. Oh,
no,
please
you're
don't
not
eat
eating glass, Taylor.
Ow.
Yeah, that's not gonna good.
Hurt. It's hard. Glass is hard and sharp.
Yes, that's why we don't eat it.
That's glass.
Taylor, why can't you just ignore? Look, you're the biggest.
I hate you.
Right, but you're literally the biggest pop star in the world. Why can't you just ignore? If people don't like you, it's okay.
I hate everything you've done and said about me.
Right, but people are going to talk, and it just looks petty for you to fight. Oh no,
it's a chainsaw.
Is that a chainsaw?
That is.
What are you?
Cut some foliage.
Oh, that is hard.
I'm going to shape a bush into an animal. Some kind of mean animal.
Mean one.
Yeah.
So that's how you're being tough, is by doing topiaries?
Yeah. But it like bears.
Oh.
Okay. Taylor, what's happening now?
The machine gun.
That's what it sounds like, but why?
Why'd you ask what's happening now, then?
Well, I was looking for something.
Look what you made her do.
Look what you made me do. You made me explain my sound effects.
I was looking for some clarification as to who you were shooting.
Oh, I hate you.
Oh, no. Speaking of 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yes.
With all the talk we've had today about last night's MTV VMAs, mm-hmm. I'm kicking myself for not mentioning. First of all, they did a performance of their new single, Walk on Water, in heat vision last night. Thermal imaging. I don't know if you saw that, Ralph, but it was very cool.
No.
You know, they're performing on stage. I imagine for the people in the arena, it just looked like the guys performing like normal. But for those of us watching at home, it was all just reds and blues and oranges. It looked like you were watching the Blue Man Group or something.
You looked like the Predator. That's how the Predator used to see us. Remember?
That's exactly what it looked like. Yes.
Yeah. Get to the helicopter. Did anybody say that? Get to the chopper.
And then Jared Leto also spent a couple of minutes, and it was maybe my favorite part of the whole night, just remembering his friend Chester Bennington. And it was so eloquent and so beautiful, and he once again put out the plea for people. If you're in that hopeless situation, there is help, and don't ever think that you're alone, and don't ever think things can't get better. And I think that's a great message, that there's a legacy left behind after what happened with Chris Cornell and Chester Bennington. It's that don't give up. So it was real sweet the way he handled it on the show. So well done, Jared. All right, 9:41, time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
Love when MTV Video Music Award, and they handle the big issues of the day. That's really what they're best at, I think.
I think it's good that they did that. I think the audience that needs that suicide prevention hotline is a lot of the people who are young enough to be watching that show.
Were a lot of screaming girls in the audience?
There was. They're trying, though, Ralph. I'm giving them some credit for that.
They took on racism?
A little bit. They
white
sure
supremacy,
did.
Charlottesville.
Yes. Yeah, they hit all those.
Suicide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry's comedy had it all.
Had all the bad issues. Things in the world.
All the push button issues.
They had Lorde having a fit.
Lorde had a fit on stage. I don't know if you heard or not. She
dancing.
Had a seizure.
I think it was some kind of seizure.
She hit a boom box button and then just seized up on stage, and they had to put a piece of wood in her mouth so she wouldn't swallow her own tongue.
It was not a medical issue.
They made her put bite down on a wallet.
Just dancing.
Because they were afraid she was going to swallow her own tongue during her seizure.
Ralph, that
she
was
had a
her
seizure.
Really? Yeah.
I didn't see the show. I just saw a clip.
Bite down on a wallet.
I thought it was bad.
it was bad for her to go through that.
I did feel at one point, look, I love Lorde. We all love Lorde. Mm-hmm. And I give her some credit for not wanting to disappoint the fans by pulling out because she was very sick.
If she didn't want to disappoint the fans, she wouldn't have done what she did.
But I do feel like if anyone would have jumped onto the stage from the audience and danced like that, they would have carted them away. Don't you think like they would have thrown him out of the arena for being crazy?
You put him in the back of some sort of medical vehicle and take him for a checkup.
Lorde could get away with it, I guess.
Could she?
Well, she tried.
Did she? Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hitman's Bodyguard is number one, $10 million. So, Annabelle Creation, Leap, Wind River, Logan Lucky. Are your top five films? Dunkirk came in at number six, then Spider-Man Homecoming, Birth of the Dragon, The Emoji Movie, and Girls Trip. Those are your top 10 films. Heard you guys talking to Taylor Swift earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a mean girl now.
She's got a bad attitude now. She's a badass. Show you how bad she's going to be. Her face is going to be on the side of UPS trucks all over America starting this week.
Yeah, what's the correlation between the two?
Well, as obviously it's a promotion for her new album, Reputation, but UPS apparently is also running a flyaway contest to see Taylor in concert.
Hmm.
So there'll be some sort of UPS tie-in where you go to a website or something and you can see her in concert. A lot of listeners, I did this story earlier today, a lot of listeners said it's a start. Instead of Taylor Swift's being on the side of a UPS truck, they'd like to see her under a UPS truck.
Wow. I mean, I'm not a fan, but I don't want her to get run over. Because then it's going to delay the deliveries. And
that's
the
true,
whole,
right?
The whole thing.
Then you don't get your Zappos delivery that you've been waiting for. Is it Zappos?
Zappos? The shoes?
I think it's Zappos. I think it's Zappos.
Sure. Zappos, right? Z-A-P-P-O-S?
Sure.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you. Hey, did I mention Action Skulls? Did we talk about Action Skulls yet? My new favorite band, Action Skulls?
Yeah.
Listen, Action Skulls, first of all, should be all anyone needs to know.
It's a good name.
The name of the band is Action Skulls. They got a new debut album. It's coming out on September 29th called Angels Here. All of that should be enough for you until I tell you the lineup of this supergroup. First of all, you get Vicky Peterson of the Bangles, okay? You may remember Vicky. She was one of the Bangles.
Mm-hmm. Was she the blonde or the brunette?
She was the one in the Bangles.
Right. But there were two sisters,
blonde,
right?
She was a guitar player. For
right.
Okay.
Yes, Vicky Peterson.
Yes.
Her sister Debbie.
All right. John Cowsill of the Cowsills. He was the one that was in the Cowsills. You remember?
Uh-huh. Right.
From that band.
Allie will not remember the Cowsills.
I don't know.
Come
I've
on.
Never heard of them.
That's a little before her time.
What did they do?
Hair.
They had a big hit of the Broadway musical.
The song Hair?
They took it and recorded it as a single and released it. That was a big hit.
The Rain, the Park, and Other Things?
Nope.
And I saw her standing in the rain.
Yeah, that
happy,
one.
Happy, happy, flowers in her hair, flowers everywhere. Okay. I love the flower girl.
No? Oh, yeah.
Cowsills?
Yeah, Cowsills.
Okay.
Indian Lake, another big hit. I go pretty deep with Cowsills.
Yeah,
apparently
do.
You do. And actor Billy Mummy, best known as playing Will Robinson on TV's Lost in Space.
Oh, that's right.
Is he a musician?
Yes, he was half of Barnes & Barnes. They gave us fish heads, roly-poly fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Okay.
Who's that's
right.
Band?
All right.
Oh, William. Oh, you're in a new band. Oh, Major West.
So was this a random band member generator? Is that how the three of them were put together?
I will not have you speak ill.
Well,
of
no,
Action
I'm serious.
Skulls.
I just don't understand the connection.
I'm just saying. Next week, Kevin Beach Show, Breakfast with Action Skulls,
a Cowsill, a Bangle, and a TV star,
and a Robinson. That's all
Robinson.
We need to know.
Okay.
Billy Mummy has an extensive musical history, by the way. He was a member of the band America. Remember America?
Oh yeah.
Sister Golden Hair?
Sure.
He was not in America.
You want to bet me cash money?
I mean, perhaps he was a touring member.
He was.
Certainly
he was
not
a touring
member, of, the
member
band.
Of America. That made him that counts.
That's not the same as being the guy who's writing and recording and in the band,
know.
Making the records.
You don't know. Was Glenn Campbell a Beach Boy?
Yeah. Touring member.
Do you guys know how this band got their start?
Someone had a skull, and then Big guy saw some action.
There was a Christmas party hosted by Angela Cartwright, also from Lost in Space.
Yeah, she played Penny.
And they were there, and they were singing around a piano.
See, that's how magic happens.
Oh, my God, no, this is
real.
That
was the birth
of
a legend.
Okay.
We get to witness it.
They were singing Beatles and Beach Boys tunes, and then they thought, hey, let's do this.
Let's make a band because we're drunk at a Christmas party. Let's create a band.
Dean, why are you trying to snuff out the spark of creation?
Look, I'll reserve judgment till I hear it. I'm not expecting much.
Well, they're not like some of your country and western songs that you've written with your songwriting career.
I need to hear those. That's all I know.
For those of you tuning in late, you missed the best part of the day, which is when we found out Bean's secret desire is to be a country and western music songwriter.
Because why, Bean?
Because, what do you mean why?
Well,
why
would
you?
You
gave
us
a reason why.
Magic.
Please repeat it.
Because those songs are meaningful and touching and beautiful and emotional and life-affirming.
And country music is the most meaningful music, you said,
yes,
right?
It is. Okay. It is, yes. Gets right to the heart.
Sure.
It sure does.
And in my next life, that's what I hope to accomplish.
It goes right to another body part of mine. It isn't the heart. It's a kick. Kick to the nads. Oh. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Action Skulls, by the way. That's all I care about now. I need to know where they are, where they're playing, what are they doing, why is beer mug in here? I need to know, more importantly. If you don't have any Action Skulls info, get the hell out of my studio.
I do not have any Action Skulls info.
He's going to tell the listeners how they can win Green Day tickets today.
Oh, that's right. The summer stickers due out soon. Because summer's right around the corner, so they have to get that summer sticker out.
I mean, it is Memorial Day weekend coming up this weekend, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Luis Guzman is 61 years old today. Shania Twain turns 52. Jack Black is 48. Jason Priestley is 48. Florence Welch is 31, as is actor Armie Hammer. He's dreamy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This summer sticker we're talking about is available at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. You pick up the sticker at any store, enter in the password on the back, and you have a chance to win a whole bunch of great stuff, including the new Honda Civic LX, the gift card, the Green Day in your garage, the Green Day at the Rose Bowl. But Mugs, you're going to be in person, not only giving out the stickers for free, but also giving out additional concert tickets. What's going on today?
Absolutely. From 1 to 3 p.m. at the Galleria at Tyler in Riverside. That's 2243 Galleria at Tyler. I have Green Day tickets that we're going to be giving away in store. Tons more. We got Kings of Leon, High and Low Festival, Paramore, and just a bunch of good stuff we're giving away.
Any Action Skull tickets?
No Action Skull tickets, Ralph. I'm sorry.
I will not be there.
That's from 1 to 3 at the Hot Topic in Riverside at the Gallery at Tyler today. Meet Beer Mug. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, it is Tuesday. I think you all know what that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bachelor in Paradise Report with Ralph and Petros just around 7:30 or so. Also have more tickets for the home opener of USC Trojan football versus Western Michigan at the Coliseum this Saturday. And more tickets for the most terrifying clown movie of all time from the looks of the trailers. It. You can see it before it opens up in theater. That's all tomorrow right here on